House will come to order.
Mr. Speaker.
Madam Chairman.
Privilege of the floor.
Please.
I am so excited to introduce back to the House our former Speaker, Randall Luthy, who he's been my mentor and one of my very favorite people. Oh, I forgot. I already forgot the rules. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you all for such a nice, warm welcome back. Because this really is home. I spent 12 years in this, being privileged to be able to be a part of this body. It started off an unusual way on a close election, but many of you have had those, so you know what that is like. They said, say a few words, and I only have about 10 or 30 minutes of prepared speaking points, but you're not going to hear any of them. First of all, thank you. Thank you for your service to the state of Wyoming. Thank you for taking the time and make Wyoming a better place, because it truly is a better place. I have been very fortunate since being in the House of Representatives to serve in some great jobs, be in D.C. I'm still in D.C. working for a lobbying group, Offshore Energy. But I will tell you, there is never a better sense of service, and never have I had a better sense of actually thinking you're accomplishing something than being able to serve on this very floor with people like you. And I will tell you, over the years, you will remember a few votes, not many. Generally, they're going to deal with tax increases and cuts. Those are the votes you're going to remember. But what you will remember far longer are the friendships, and yet is also always put people first. And you'll see that as you begin to work through it. This job is, again, you've prepared me, I hope, for other assignments. And I hope that I've done them reasonably well. Mr. Speaker, a pleasure. I wish you all the very best. And if you come to D.C., I'll try and show you a good time. I look for opportunities to return to Wyoming, and hopefully something will turn up, because, as you know, Wyoming is always home. It always is. I came in from Denver this morning. And there's just that very special feeling. It doesn't matter if you enter from the Jackson Alpine Etna area or enter through Cheyenne past the Terry Bison Ranch. It just warms your heart when you cross that border. Now, in this case, often there's also about a 50-mile-an-hour wind to hit you, but that was not the case today. So, again, congratulations on all your elections. Congratulations on being part of the best body in the entire world. Mr. Speaker, thank you for the privilege.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Welcome back to the House. Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not only do we have the opportunity of having Randall here with us, but also in the balcony above me, I'd like to introduce two people that are here visiting, also with Randall, Charlie and Kelly Klinger from Star Valley. Would you please welcome them?
Welcome to the House. We're back at that order of business of consideration of bills on third reading, House Bill 1. We're now on third reading amendment number 35 to House Bill 1. Representatives Juana Cerdan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 35 to House Bill 1. I would ask this body for favorable consideration. In the last several years, many states are trying to find ways to cut down their health care costs, most definitely including ours. And many of you know we have an employee wellness program for state employees, encourages exercise and healthy habits, and that's certainly a good start. Being from this fine town, I do have a large number of state employees in my district who are being affected by the new taxes on our paychecks this year, just as all of us in Wyoming are struggling alongside living under this higher federal tax rate. And so, because I've heard many concerns from my district, I started thinking and researching on what other states are doing that could help defray these costs. So I went to that organization that works with state legislatures to figure out what other states were doing. And I actually found that over the past 5 years, 9 states now have in their employee health insurance plans a bifurcated rate to state employees based on their smoking rate. And so, what I found fascinating is all 9 of these states are what we consider probably really conservative states throughout this country. So what the amendment does, Mr. Speaker, is allow the employee insurance to study study establishing a tiered health insurance model for our state employees here in Wyoming. And I liked what I read so much, I just thought about mandating it, but I figured we needed to have a study, and that was the more responsible way to go, is to spend a little bit of money, get some data, present it to the Labor Committee in the interim so they can consider taking this step. And I certainly thought taking $10,000 out of the tobacco trust account was fair and reasonable, as this account really is to help find help people find ways to stop smoking and encourage decreased tobacco use. And so this is exactly the type of research I think the money should be used for, and something that I think would really benefit our state. In a Hoosier state, they have a $500 a year deductible on what they call the tobacco incentive that is given to state employees that don't smoke. The Tar Heel state, it goes even further. They allow their state employees who don't smoke to enlist in an 80-20 plan instead of the 70-30 that the rest of their state employees are on. So I do think this could alleviate some of the burden to our state employees. There certainly is always a strong sentiment in this body, in this state, that if you're being responsible with your own health, you shouldn't have to pay a higher premium for somebody who is engaging in riskier behavior. And so I'd ask the body to consider taking this step. $10,000 is about $1 per state employee for some research into a program that could save a couple hundred a year for each employee and their family. I'd be happy to answer any questions on the budget amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to make a point. Not necessarily on or against this, but understand what's going on here. This is what's technically called an earmark. That agency budgeted and submitted a budget, and it had all of its line item matters in it, and it was submitted on that basis, and it was approved on that basis. Now it comes to this body, and there's not an additional appropriation here. So what we're doing is we're rearranging the agency's budget. And somewhere in that agency, $10,000 that was going to be a line item dedicated to something now has to go into this, and that line item has to be decreased, and their whole budget has to be rejiggered. So we're rewriting their budget when we do this if there's not an increase in the appropriation to cover the funds that are being dedicated to a specific purpose.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Folks, sometimes I think we focus a lot on the state agencies and the state employees. The tobacco settlement monies were for the citizens of the state of Wyoming, and we're plucking out a segment of this state's employed people, and we're looking for ways to provide a health care relief for them. And I think they have a pretty good health care plan now. I think that much better than most of the private sector in the state, and I think it's unduly focusing on a segment of the state and avoiding the rest. And I'd encourage you not to vote for this amendment.
Chairman Teeters.
I just, Mr. Speaker, need some clarification. My interpretation of the amendment just after first blush does not concur with the comments of the good majority floor leader. I think we're taking this out of tobacco settlement monies the way it appears to me. That's the way I read the amendment. And also, I would just like to comment that it doesn't happen very often, but I agree with my good colleague from Laramie County. This is a good amendment.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, wanted to I think we want to be careful about using that earmark thing. I think you could argue, technically, that every budget amendment brought by someone other than the JAC is an earmark. And, you know, that's what we do is come down here and set policy. And part of that's by how we spend, that is by how we spend money. That's how we set policy. And this is another appropriation. So I want to stand on that. And I'm probably going to vote for this. I'm just, I'm worried about what's coming next. Is it us chubby guys next or what's next? Because I could resemble some of those remarks in the future, so I want to be careful. But no, I understand in all seriousness what you're trying to do, and appreciate the amendment.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I just can't resist. We already tried to address the chubby guy with a wellness program that didn't work so well, so we're now on to another attempt here. But I would stand on and for this amendment, and it is from the tobacco settlement account. We actually haven't done too much with that account this year as far as making a run for it. We typically have several amendments, and so I think that this is an appropriate place to do it. The insurance premiums continue to go up, and we struggle to figure out ways to serve our state agencies and their employees, who are our employees, and they're trying to do the people's work, and I think if this is incentivizes them to be healthier and to really take a serious look at those premiums, it could be a benefit to us. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate all the good comments on this. I don't think this rises to the level of a bill. That's why I brought it as a budget amendment, and I didn't get it into the agency in time to study this. It was just kind of something that I thought about and looked online and researched and said, this is a great idea. Why don't we undertake the same thing? I certainly don't have concerns if in the conference committee they half the money or take the money out altogether. I just think you need a little bit of language to enable this study and to come back and I think the state government really can be a model for the rest of Wyoming and for other states. So we can lead by example and do something that says this could work, and if it reduces our premiums, maybe the private sector will get in line with the market wages of state employees. So I think it's a good step. It's a little bit of money, if any, and it hopefully will keep insurance premiums down, and it would be recommended in the interim. Then next year we'd see a bill or see some progress in helping out our state employees and other members of the state. Thanks.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 35 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All in favor, please rise. Third reading amendment number 35 to House Bill 1 has been adopted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, if you could join me up here, that would be great. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 1. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's back up and do the roll call. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins. Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay. Excused. Gingery. Excused. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer. Green.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson. Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brown, aye to no. Blevins, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 32 aye, 26 no, 2 excused.
Third reading, amendment number 35 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 8. Chairman Hartsman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I'd move third reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 1. Ask for your consideration. Folks, these are the two that positions we removed from the Department of Environmental Quality Agency 20, Section 20 in your bill. And as you know, we've had this discussion and so here is what I brought back kind of as a compromise, and those two positions that were identified are one is the uranium position. It's been open for a few months, and the other is land use permitting with our mineral permits. And the agency has come and said we do have one AML supervisor, project supervisor, that they would like to trade for that. It is recently opened, and as you know, our AML projects have hit that peak and are going to kind of go into this glide downward. And so the thought was to bring back those two to keep our mineral production, rolling along at a good pace that we all want, and then to deactivate and eliminate this one AML supervisor. So I'd stand for any questions, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I would just offer to answer any additional questions. I think when you're in the business of helping folks get their permits, it's very important that the agency have enough staff. I don't have a lot of experience in uranium, but I recently did do a uranium matter for a client, and it's extremely complicated, and they need to have staff to get the job done, or all we do is delay the industry that actually generates the revenue for the state. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? The question is, third reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 1 is passed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading. Thank you. Thank you, all you woes out there. There is an increase in the general fund. It requires a vote under Rule 11-3. The clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart. Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingrey excused. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson. Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Hutchings? Hutchings, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused.
Third reading amendment number 8 to the House Bill 1 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment 24. Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 24 to House Bill 1. Ask for your favorable consideration. Members, this goes back, and you remember in the Chief Executive's budget message, he wanted a total of $60 million for fires. And because we had just come off the worst fire season in history. And so we responded as a JEC and refilled all the accounts and added about $12 million more. So the total's right at around $32 million for fires. And remember, the request was $60 million. Well, we're looking at, I guess the issue is, what if we have another year like last year? Well, I didn't have a desire to just appropriate $30 million more dollars into this account and have just kind of another big account. We want to try to match that, but it's hard to kind of guess what could happen. So this approach then would take money that we have appropriated sitting in an account, and you can read it. What it does is it says that up to $15 million may be expended for the costs associated with suppression of fires in the 13 fire season after all other available fire suppression funds have been exhausted. So that's the $32 million. If that is gone and we've spent all that on fires and we still need fire money, that the chief executive could go into this account. Now, continue reading on, the governor shall include a general fund appropriation request for the municipal solid waste landfill remediation and his 15-16 biennial budget recommendation at least equal to all funds expended from this appropriation on costs associated with fires. So we're saying if the governor does have to come in and use a million or two of this money, he will find money in his general fund proposals next year when he comes back to us with a biennial budget. And trying to look for a solution, because I for one, and I think the members of this body, have no desire to appropriate money that is not in the bank yet, which was part of the proposal that might come in July with capital gains. I have no desire to appropriate out of the LSRA, and this is an account that we have and we are currently appropriating out of. We appropriated $1.3 million. Just the other day, but I want to keep this account. We're probably at a pretty good spot right now. We want to keep it whole, and so I got to have that payback provision in there. So with that, I'd answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Representative Gurr.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, appreciate the Chair of Appropriations doing the corrected copy, making sure that this coffee can gets filled back up. Just so we know what we have going on with the landfill remediation legislation is about $31 million of identified liability on those top 11 landfills, as I've said before. Fact is we are about 2 years out from really putting a shovel in the ground to doing any of that work. We've got to go through the rulemaking process. We have a little bit of time. When I first saw the amendment, I was very much concerned because I felt as if with the appropriations we were doing, we had really funded that liability and we didn't have to worry about it. The chairman from appropriations just made a commitment that if those funds do have to be used, that's going to be a very high priority of the executive office to put those funds back in there. Relatively neutral on the amendment overall, but it does not concern me as it was first drafted. One thing I'll caution, any more attacks on this fund, though, we need to be very, very cautious of it. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. Two quick questions. Just for the sake of conversation, how much money is in the LSRA? I'd like to know what that, where we're sitting with that. And the other one is, we should be careful when we're trying to take a wild guess at what we're going to spend on fires, because if we underestimate this, we could be in a world of hurt, and we'll be scrambling for not just a couple million dollars, but tens of millions of dollars if we have anything like a fire season like last year. So we should vote this up, but we should be careful when we look down the road at these kind of things.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time? The question is on third reading amendment number 24 to House Bill 1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 24 to House Bill 1 is passed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1. Representative Yeagy.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Again, make an attempt at this one to decrease by $10 million, putting into, or from the, better get all this straight, from the, I'm putting it into LSRA, taking $10 million from... Help. No, it's not general fund. There you go. Thank you. This is coming out of the landfills. I was doing something else. We're taking, if you'll remember yesterday, this fund was already at $30 million, and it's not going to be used. They have to study before they take this out. So we're taking $10 million out of there, putting in the LSRA, and we can look at this again next year if this account needs more in the landfill. So we're putting it where it's available, and if we need to do that, that makes it available. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I strongly urge you not to vote for this amendment in light of the last amendment, because now we're just having a $15 million contingent liability on that fund. We take the rest of this money out of there. You know, we're all hoping the future is going to be bright and we're going to have those funds, but... Hey, we've made a concerted effort the 3 years I've been down here to save for this liability. Let's not mess with this, please.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time? Questions on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1. This is a technical correction from the amendment that we passed 2 days ago on the forensic audit for what we did in the past. There's some language in there that the Department of Audit asked to add about shifting some funds internally within the department to execute the purposes of the audit. They asked for it as a technical correction. Vote on this one to get the language correct. If you don't like the audit, we can talk about that one on the next amendment that comes up. I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Anyone else wish to speak on third reading amendment 27? Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1 has passed. The next Thank you. Under Rule 11.3, this being a direct decrease of an appropriation by a specific dollar amount, the clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Baker.
Wait. Point of order.
Mr. Speaker.
If you're looking at the same amendment that I just moved, it's just adding some technical correction language in the middle of the amendment. This amendment already passed 2 days ago, and so we're just adding technical correction but not adding or decreasing a fund.
Well, Mr. Speaker, what we were looking at is line 7 of the amendment that says under general fund increase amount by $150,000.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, if that amendment already passed. We can vote on it if you want, but we already voted on that amendment. The only difference between this amendment and the other one is the technical correction contained down in the middle of the body of the amendment that allows funds to be shifted between internally in the agency.
Third reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 2, Representative Yeagy.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I read third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1. What I have here is I just want to have a little discussion. We were told the reason for this audit to be conducted by some of the Department of Education employees and their lawyers about the possible misuse of funds and misconduct within the departments. And there was some allegations that were spelled out there. These allegations, of course, were denied by the superintendent, but all of these, are these allegations valid? And it was said, I hope they're not true, but we need to get to the bottom of this if it is true. So my question is, and ask again, one of the famous bills we passed, why did we pass Senate File 104 if we're now going to check and see if the allegations are true? We heard that there was enough evidence that we needed to get rid of that. And there were some bad things doing, and we even talked at that time. Some people said, well, if they're that bad, let's just impeach her. Well, of course, that didn't happen. So we passed Senate File 104 because the State Department of Education couldn't function. We passed it to get it the education back on track and restore the order to the Department of Education. Now we're checking to see if what we were led to believe was true and find out if it's really true. So I just wanted to bring this up for you, and I also want to know if they're true, and so I'll remove this amendment at this time.
Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1 has been withdrawn. It's the same as removed, I think. We're now on third reading amendment number 25 to House Bill 3, Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 25 to House Bill 1, and we are working off of a corrected copy that you have just been circulated to your desk. What this amendment would do would provide some appropriations to continue with our pine bark beetle mitigation efforts up in the Black Hills of northeastern Wyoming. This appropriation is straight up out of the general fund. It does not affect the fire suppression accounts. And further, on page 63 of the budget bill, line 16 through 26, it deletes entirely that section. If you recall where it said if any money was left over, the governor could take $2.5 million out of that for pine bark beetle. So this is a standalone amendment. It is for $2 million. It takes $1 million and goes to the Department of Ag, and $1 million that goes to the Wildlife Trust account, and allow us to continue that work that we started last year with the same appropriations that we did last year. So you might ask, why this work in the Wyoming Black Hills and why now? And I just want to quickly draw your attention to a map that you should have on your desk. On top it says a 2011 aerial detection survey. give you a moment to find that. I've been following the work of the pine bark beetle and forest health for a number of years as I've been in the legislature, and I just thought it'd be appropriate that some of you have not seen this. You might take a look, and I'll share with you what the conditions of our forest health is throughout the state. As you can see, if you have found this map, that there's really parts of two forests that still remain fairly healthy, and that is the Black Hills up in the northeastern corner and the Bighorn in the Bighorn Mountains. That forest is fairly healthy, and certainly part of the reason for the Black Hills, as I mentioned on the second reading amendment, we have a very active timber infrastructure industry up there, a big sawmill there in one of our communities, and they've been very active in working on keeping those timber sales going up there, and that has made it possible for that forest to remain fairly healthy. But we do have a pine bark beetle problem up there, as you could see, as we've had around the state. I think we're going to be able to get ahead of this thing. We had some questions on the second reading amendment about what is the future of this program. I just want to share with you the program is really about cutting. The main part of the program is really cutting and chunking of trees, and that kills the pine bark beetle and cuts down on the expansion rate. And in this year, 2013, the plan is to harvest 85,000 trees, 2014, 55,000 trees, 2015, 40,000 trees, and 2016, 35,000 trees. We think that will keep us ahead of the infestation. And while we're not trying to get rid of all the pine bark beetles, although we'd like to, this type of a control effort, I think, will save that forest. I would just mention to you quickly that northeastern Wyoming, at least in where the national forest is, you know, we don't have coal, we don't have gas, we do have some oil, and the timber industry is and the tourist industry is one of, and ag, of course, is one of the really important industries up there, and the pine bark beetles is certainly it tends to threaten our industry up there, particularly our sawmill. And we have one of the few remaining sawmills in the state up there, and one of our communities up there relies heavily on that sawmill. And so this is an economic impact to us, and we're trying everything we can to try to save the forest up there. Scientific basis of the treatment, I think, is sound, but we can't skip any years, and that's our concern, and probably my persistence in coming back to you on the third reading amendment, just ask that if we start out with this program as we did last year, that we would continue to fund it. And I think we have an end point out there. We believe that we can be successful. And one of the things that I've talked about to the stakeholders back in the northeastern part of the state is that we need to have partnerships on this program, and in fact we do. We have three counties. Our state to the northeast of us, where we are here, east of that area, they've put about $6 million into pine bark beetle work in the other side of the state line there. Forest Service, the two weed and pest districts, two conservation districts, and the timber industry and private landowners have all been involved in this. One of our sawmill folks up there, they put $100,000 in this effort in the past 6 months. So, you know, everybody's trying to do what they can to help out on this. I would just finish up, I guess, by saying that this problem is likely going to occur in other parts of the state, particularly in the Bighorns, and we'll likely, if we want to try to remediate that problem up there, that in the future, when the pine bark beetle gets started up there, we might end up doing the same thing. This is kind of a pilot project. We think it's going to work, and I guess with that, I try to answer any questions and just ask for your support.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I support this amendment. New to the Ag Committee and starting to hear the testimony and the reports back on this program, it's starting to work, something that we really do need to focus on and keep our efforts focused here. I do have one question, though, for the good chair of Ag. You know, what is $2,000,000?
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I move that we delete the word 1,000 from line 5 on the first page of the amendment so that this appropriation is $2 million instead of $2 billion.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Rule 11-2 says that all amendments have to be in writing except technical amendments. The Speaker's made a motion for a technical amendment. So on the technical amendment, to correct the mistake as pointed out by the previous speaker, the speaker previous to the speaker, be the previous speaker speaker, I guess. All those in favor of the technical amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And any opposed say no. The technical amendment is adopted such that the word 1,000 on line 5 of the amendment is stricken. Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Majority Floor Leader. I, too, support this amendment, as the good chairman has pointed out here, that there's a definite problem going on that is carrying on our side of the state, on the west side of the state also, even though you don't see it much on the map right there. We are infected. We're fighting very hard to maintain our forest, and hopefully through this type of mitigation we can come about of saving those forestry lands that we can enjoy for the rest of our lives and the rest of our children's lives. So we ask you to support this amendment.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I too stand in support of this amendment. Most of our forests are heavily infected and most of them lost, and I think this is a good opportunity to try this and keep it going and see how effective we can be for future forests. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I stand in support of the amendment, and particularly the way it's done. It's just a straight up out of the general fund, and we know now exactly how this is going to work. It removes any of that carve-out out of the fire, so it helps the fire suppression. There's no pressure on the chief executive to kind of try to do both and maybe come up short in another and particularly get into that landfill account. So I appreciate the bringer coming back with just a straight-up shot, and we can vote it up or down. I think we all know the issue. So on and in support. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time? Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 25 to House Bill 1 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment 25 to House Bill 1 is passed. The next amendment for consideration is... Whoa. Thank you for the... We are now at whoa. Pursuant to 11-3, roll call, vote is required. The clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay, excused. Gingery, excused. Goggles. Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, Harvey, Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone, Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton, Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Harvey.
Excused.
Harvey excused. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Laux, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 1 no, 3 excused.
The rules have it. Third reading amendment number 25 to House Bill 1 has passed. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
In the balcony to the south, your right, is a group from the University of Wyoming, the Multicultural Student Leadership Initiative with Chicory Bechtel. Please welcome them to the House.
Welcome to the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 26 to House Bill 1, Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I respectfully withdraw third reading amendment number 26 to House Bill 1.
The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 23 to House Bill 1, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Move third reading amendment number 23 to House Bill 1. Ask for your favorable consideration. This has been a process of continual corrections on this WildLink budget. And just a quick history on it, we cut $530,000 out of this program, $424,000 of it was general fund, $106,000 were highway funds. It's come to our attention we maybe are a little bit short on our commitments in our contracts with this system, and so this amendment would restore the $106,000 in highway funds. It would still maintain the general fund cut of $424,000. I'd stand for any questions.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm about to the end of my long road with WildLink. And at some point in time, enough is going to have to be enough. And I would hope that you, as chairman of the committee, Mr. Chairman, could maybe show us the end of this nightmare at some point.
Anyone else for the first time? Representatives Warnitzer the Younger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a little more information I was looking for of why we're doing this and why the money's going around and what it's being spent on and what their current request is this year and what we might see next year now. Thanks.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Harshman.
The answer to the question on what we can expect in biennial approaches, and here's where this is at. So 1.3 was in general fund was our appropriation. The governor cut that to 1.1, and looking forward, it's going to be about $2 million in a biennial request as we go forward in general funds. I think I said that right. Yeah, it is. Right around $2 million is the general fund appropriation for the biennium, about $1 million per year moving forward. So I hope that answered your question. I pulled that out of our budget book. Now, I, too, share your frustration, the good chairman of education. There's a thing with me that I just can't overcome, and I can tell you that story. In room 302, and it was in a December budget hearing. Nobody was here but the Appropriations Committee, and we had a demonstration. And we're going to go up, and we're going to talk to a county sheriff and sublet on his mobile device. And it's so like what we all do, you know, we pull out. Hey, turn your radio to channel 1. And then we got it. Hung up his cell phone, and then we got him. So I've struggled ever since, and that's been 6 years ago. Now, part of this, there is a point we're going to have to decide whether to fish or cut bait, and I think it's probably coming soon. And I'm glad you asked the question, because we were talking about it as a couple appropriation members. I would like to suggest to Management Council that we take a little more in-depth look at this, either the Transportation Committee or the Appropriations Committee or what, but make sure maybe there's ways we can sell some of the space on these towers to generate some revenue to offset some of this. And it's not as heavily used as we were told that it would be. You know, YDOT only uses about 20% of it. And so not everybody's on it. And currently YDOT's supporting all of it pretty much. So there's a lot of tough questions ahead on this, and I don't have the answers this afternoon for you, that's for sure. But I do think we probably overcut and probably are a little bit short on our commitments, and that's why they ask for this highway fund to come back, and it still maintains that $424,000 in general fund cuts. Thank you.
The question is on third reading amendment number 23 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 23 has failed. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. Third reading amendment number 23 to House Bill 1 has failed. All right, all those opposed, please stand. Third reading amendment number 23 to House Bill 1 has failed. It's still dead. Next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 33 to House Bill 1. Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment 33 to House Bill 1. Brothers and sisters of the 62nd, this is an amendment for $500,000 to study the five facilities that are run by the Department of Health. And a little background on it. In December's interim committee meeting for labor health, we were discussing with Director Forslund about the major cost drivers and cost to the state. And this is when we voted on conducting the study of the Wyoming Life Resource Center. And I asked him if we could study actually all five facilities within the state. And he said the department is unable to do that. They can only do one facility a year. So essentially it would take us 5 years to research all five facilities. And after listening to the representative from the Oasis of southwestern Wyoming a couple days ago talking about conducting a study of YDOT, I thought it may be appropriate to conduct a study of the five facilities. So essentially these five facilities, general fund dollars in a biennium is $98 million. I say again, these five facilities in a biennium, $98 million to the state. The budget for the Department of Health on a biennium for general fund dollars is $936 million. $936 million. If you include the federal funds and other sources of revenue, the Department of Health budget is $1.84 billion with a B, $1.84 billion. I would argue all the cuts we've been making are just on the periphery. We're just making little paper cuts to all agencies. We need to start looking at the major programs and the major cost drivers of the state. And some of the major cost drivers of the state are the Wyoming State Hospital, on a biennium, $65 million of state funds from the general fund, $65 million to the Wyoming State Hospital. If you look at all five, again, $98 million. Let's look at the utilization of these five facilities. The Wyoming State Hospital, the peak census number was 750. Now it is 87. We have a 12% utilization rate compared to the peak until now. 12%. The Wyoming Life Resource Center, the peak, 717 clients. Now we have 90, which is a 13% utilization rate. The other facilities are all in the 70s for the utilization rates. I think it's time we look at the original purpose of the five facilities and what the current purpose is and how else we can do cost-saving measures for all five facilities. This report will take 2 years. I spoke to a member of the other chamber, and his recommendation was to bypass the RFP process so therefore we could start the study immediately. I didn't think a study this robust should bypass the RFP process because that'll take 4 to 7 months to go through the RFP process. So that's why we're going to get a preliminary report to the Labor Health Committee in November, and then we'll have a final report in next October of 2014. And I will stand for any questions.
Representative Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I'm wondering why this wasn't brought forth as a committee or bill or an interim committee bill over the interim. I don't know, how do you come up with $500,000? I mean, these kind of things, you just, when I see that, I look at that and I say, well, they just pulled a number out of the air. They don't know if it's going to be $400,000 or $600,000. And, you know, you got to scope out a study or, especially, this is a complicated thing. You got four or five different agencies and or hospitals or whatever. And I think it should have been thought out in a committee environment and not brought as a budget amendment. It's more that it's a policy amendment almost, as far as I can tell.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On opposed to the amendment, we have an audit department, and the first thing that the audit department does when it undertakes the examination of something is to have a scoping. You scope out what you're looking at and what you're going to do, what are the potentials and what potential time is going to be taken. Maybe we ought to put another amendment on here and abolish the audit department of the legislature. If we're not going to use it, we're going to continue to look for outside sources. On and opposed to the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and opposed to this amendment as well, the expenditure of funds like this, I have two of these reside within my district, and they're very well run. So to spend $500,000 trying to audit these two places when the expenditures are already carefully calculated, is very easy to find these, where these funds are going. I think that this is just not the place or time to do this. So on and opposed to this amendment.
Representative Zwanzer the Younger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In favor of the amendment, and more so just because I've sat on State Building Commission for so long, what we do is major maintenance in other respects to, you know, facilities, but we never really had a study about, especially for two of these facilities, on how you can actually utilize the buildings and land better. And certainly the State Hospital, if any of you have been there or sat through some of these meetings like I have on how the layout of patients and buildings. I just personally been there. I don't think it's efficient whatsoever, and I've always kind of wondered why the heck they haven't done something. And then we've inquired about this and found out there's some major cost, and you have to move equipment and redo a master plan. And so, you know, I'm in favor of the amendment. If we can spend $500,000 to figure out how to cut down on costs and make some efficiencies, I do think the efficiencies saved will be over this amount. I certainly wasn't excited about an earlier amendment where we put this much money on a YDOT study or a game and fish study that we've studied to death, but this is an area we have not, I would submit to you, spent the requisite amount of time doing the land and space allocations that probably need to be performed, at least in accordance to two of these facilities. Neither one are in the former speaker's district, and I can't speak to those, but the two that I'm thinking of, we certainly do have some issues and some concerns, and from meetings I've been in over the last 2 years, I think it would be great to have, hopefully it didn't cost this much, but and I bet we can cut it down some at the November meeting in 2013. We find that maybe we don't need that broad of a study, but certainly I am in favor of the concept, and I don't think this money is too much knowing what needs to be done.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. You know, we're going to have to do this, whether we do it through this budget amendment or whether we do it one unit at a time. We did pass a bill to study one of these institutions. We're going to have to do this. Other states are looking at how to cut back expenses and how to serve these populations. And it's time. We're spending more at our state institutions than we are through private institutions, private organizations that are doing the same work. So we are going to have to do this.
The question is this the time? Is this the budget? I would submit to you that if we're going to be looking at our budgets over time and that we anticipate that our mineral revenues are going to decrease, we really need to look at where the expenditures are. And when you look at what these expenditures are, how much we are spending per person, I mean, you could take the state institution that's in my county and say, could we rent specific rooms to handle this population in nursing homes throughout the state? And I think that's going to be the questions that we're going to try and answer is, can we do this better on a private basis? Can we do this better serving people closer to their communities? The questions that I think this study could answer is, are we spending our state dollars wisely? And I also would submit to you that many of these institutions are very, very old buildings. And just looking at the age of the buildings, and even though some of them have been maintained very well, some of them have not. Some of them have been maintained well in some areas and not in other areas. So I guess it's up to this body. Do you want to do it on this budget amendment, or do you want to do them one at a time? But I think that this amendment has brought an awareness that I think that we all need to recognize and understand.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I stand on and for this amendment. $500,000 is a lot of money. But as you've heard the previous speakers testify, we should have done this analysis of purpose of these facilities years ago. And as our budgets get tighter, we struggle at how to maintain these facilities. I have a facility that's under a different agency in my community, and we spent millions of dollars tearing down many of the structures to build new structures to serve a population, and we only have about a third of those folks living in that. And my question to all of you is, do we have the right purpose for the facilities that we currently own? These are valuable assets that we have, and I'm not certain that we are serving the people of Wyoming well today as we operate these. So let's just look at this, assess the needs, where it would be best fit, and what else could we do with these facilities. It's not about saying we're closing anything down, but I think it's time that we become knowledgeable about the assets that we currently own that we believe we're serving the people of Wyoming with. So I would ask you to vote for this study.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Just a couple comments about the funding. I talked to the director, and relying upon his experience in his current position, and then the 20 years he had in administration, and then I discussed with some of the senior members in this body and then the other chamber of whether their estimates from all the studies they've done over the last 10 and 20 years, how much they thought one would cost, and then also based upon the previous discussion on the study for YDOT, and that's where we came up with the figure of $500,000, and of course whatever isn't spent on the study then reverts back to the general fund, is not utilized. Also, like just make sure we understand, so when we look at the state hospital, half the buildings there are unutilized. They just sit there, and many are collecting mold. How can we properly utilize those buildings and other buildings and properly serve the people of Wyoming instead of just keeping spending money into these facilities? Let's make sure that they're the best bang for the buck for the people of Wyoming. And with that, I'd ask for the question, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
The question is on third reading amendment number 33 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 33 to House Bill 1 has failed. Next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1. Representative Greer.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, just for the record, I love education, hate cancer. I withdraw my amendment.
Next reading for our next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 34 to House Bill 3. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move amendment number 34 to House Bill number 1. And this amendment just partially restores some of the funding for our Wyoming senior centers from the general fund appropriation. And currently there are 40 senior centers, and these are on the front lines of providing quality, cost-effective services for Wyoming's more than 80,000 senior residents, 60 years and older. And for many of these folks, these senior centers are the first point of contact. And as a result, they end up saving the state millions of dollars by keeping seniors in their own homes and communities and out of nursing homes. And Wyoming senior centers are more than just a socialization place. These are places that provide transport, preventative health services, in-home services. They do meal preparation, chore service care, and a lot of different things. For years, they had a patchwork of funding. And a number of years ago, Wyoming decided they would kind of consolidate a little bit of our state funds, if you will. But this is a very important aspect for many of Wyoming's citizens. And so I ask for your favorable support for this amendment.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, just by way of reminder, the cuts that occurred to this particular portion of the Department of Health actually took place last year when we passed the budget. So this is not undoing a cut that we proposed this year. This is adding money back in. And more significantly, the cut, the 4% cut, was one-third of the amount that we're adding back in. So not only are we undoing a cut, we are expanding the expenditure on this particular line item. And it is important to know and to look back over the history of increases, because this is a program that has increased over the last 38% over the last 9 years or so, that we have put more and more money, because we recognize they are, I mean, this isn't a bad program, it's a good program. But, it's one of those things that if we're going to start adding money back into all our programs, all our good programs, we're going to be here a long, long time. So I'd ask for your no vote on this amendment.
Representative Blake, or, I don't know, you guys fight to the death. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment. The local senior centers are hurting. The one in the city of Springs by the Rock is a brand new senior center. But all their funding has been losing their funding over and over and over again. They do fundraisers. They do casino nights. They do Oktoberfest to try to get some money. And it's time we help the senior citizens of Wyoming. Please support this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to be clear again, and I think the good representative from the Senator State spelled it out, just the numbers on this. In the 07-08 biennium, the Division of Aging was the senior centers was $6.3 million, and in this 13-14 biennium, it's grown to $11.5 million. So we've been very good. I mean, and so I don't want people to think if you vote against this, you're voting against seniors. I mean, that's how these things kind of... And I'm not saying it was referenced like that, but I don't want you to feel like that. I think the issue really is the cut was 490, and this is restoring that has already been made, and this is basically adding back in 475 as we move forward. So, everybody's seen this. I think the standing committee's seen it as it came through. I think JC saw this. Governor saw it. And so... I think this is a very small cut, and I'd urge us to defeat this amendment.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wonder if we realize what programs this may cut. What it may cut is the Meals on Wheels and the people that are homebound and can't get their services any other way. So what you're doing is saying the people that can afford it will still get it, but the people that can't won't.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know the tale of the money, but I do know the result of what's happening in the area that I'm at. I'm sure that the state is very kind to the senior centers, but about this time last year, my aunt was doing not very well, and the cuts were starting to hit to where that they couldn't get Meals to Wheels to her. They couldn't get in-house help. And so I saw the bottom line of, oh, and the costs went up. A year ago when I was talking to the senior citizens in our area, centers in our area, they didn't have waiting lines, and that they were able to get everybody a meal that requested it. At least in our area, what's happening is now we have people that are on waiting lists and we don't get meals to everybody. At least that's what I've been told by people there. We've probably been generous, but what has happened is the federal government grants that they've had have been cut. Cities and counties in the state of Wyoming, they've been forced to cut their help to senior citizen centers also. I think we have the money, and I would urge you to support this amendment.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm against the amendment. Having ticked off the coal companies the other day, now I'll tick off the old people. So you may as well look at me, because I guess I won't be back in 2 years. I had prepared about a 20-page information thing when we had a similar amendment brought the other day, and then when it was not, I decided I didn't need it. So now I can't find it. But speaking off the top of my head, we're not cutting the whole program. It's not all gone away. The thing to keep in mind of when you look at a lot of these senior citizens centers, and I mean, we all know and love old people. This isn't a vote against old people. But we have programs, many of them are not means-tested, including the Meals on Wheels program. When we are offering state funds to teach people Tai Chi and knitting and have social groups, which are all wonderful things, but when we're looking at cutting people's medications for developmentally disabled people or that sort of thing, I do think that this is a good example of the kind of service where communities, church groups, scouts, whatever other good kind of programs like that, this is a wonderful area for communities to get involved and not look to the state so much to fund programs, again, where, as I say, many of them are not means-tested. So I think this is actually, if you vote against this amendment, you are not voting against old people, and that will be okay.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker. I feel compelled to say something about this when I get through here. This might look attractive. However, I want you to know that I will have a private conversation with the Speaker. I will not claim a conflict of interest.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to correct a couple of the statements I made earlier, and I'm sorry. I was looking at an entirely different budget for senior care, which has been raised 38% since the 2005-2006 biennium. And those are monies that are given to the elderly in our state for different needs. If you look at this particular budget, the monies given to the Senior Services Board and funneled to the senior centers, the budget over that time period has increased by 566%. It has gone from $1.7 million to $11.6 million. We have been very, very generous in regards to these programs. The cuts that we have seen that were voted on last session and are minimal. If you look at the tremendous expansion in this program over the last 8 years. So we have been generous. We have recognized the needs across our state, and we have met those needs. And so I would again ask you to vote against this amendment.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I've been listening to these statistics, and the figures I have in front of me don't necessarily look exactly the same way. I do know this, that there are across the nation 10,000 baby boomers coming into retirement every day. And here in the state of Wyoming, we are one of the most rapidly aging states in the nation. When we talk about expenses that go to help these seniors, we're talking about a significant portion of our state. And these are very important. When you look at where they receive their funds from, 24% right now comes from federal. 20%, the second most amount of money, comes directly from these seniors. So they do have skin in the game. Thirdly, local funding is 16% right now. They have skin in the game. Everybody has skin in the game. The truth is, though, right now there are programs that are being cut. There are people being put on waiting lists, waiting for services and different kinds of maintenance and repair as a result of this. And they're doing this I understand the numbers being given, but right now, still, it comes down to a shoestring budget. And I cannot answer for all of the 40 different centers across the state. I just know the three in my district. They are all very efficiently, very tightly run services with wonderful people who work very hard. And for one, try to help people through the work that goes through trying to fill out the paperwork for retirement and everything else. So these are well-run programs, and I just again ask for your favorable consideration of this amendment.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 34 to House Bill number 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 34, third reading amendment 34 to House Bill 1 has failed. Division being called. All in favor, please rise. Those opposed? Of little faith. Third reading amendment number 34 to House Bill number 1 has failed. Brothers and sisters, a couple announcements before we get to your amendment, Representative Yagi. First of all, we have 21 amendments down, 14 to go. That puts us exactly 3/5 of the way there. If you look in the South Gallery, good friends of and next-door neighbors to Representative Blickery, our good friends Steve and Dee Riss, welcome to the House. And in the gallery next to Steve and Dee Riss, the fairer half of the Blickery family, Jackie Blickery. We're now on third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1. Folks, I just ask your indulgence one more time for kind of the seniors in the state. Felt a little bad we just defeated that last one. Talking to three seniors centers that have just called from or emailed, Sweetwater, Niobrara, and Uinta, the figures that were given of how much money has been given, and what I'm getting is the cuts that are being made, the wages that are being paid to our seniors. And this one is, if you'll look, the littlest number. We went to one of the major health guys on the other side and said, "You interested in this?" And he said, "That isn't even worth our time." But the senior citizens that are basically administering, this is the community-based in-home services program that takes care of the long-term care option that helps frail residents to age in place, stay in their own homes and communities. The goals of the program are to foster self-sufficiency, prevent abuse and neglect, and maintain individuals in the least restrictive, safe environment in their own homes. It also prevents inappropriate and premature institutionalization in a more expensive nursing home. I'll give you the costs in a minute. This program, community-based in-home services, is case-managed, homemaking services, personal care, household chore services, respite care and adult care services, personal emergency response systems. It's being offered through the state, administered largely by our senior centers. It started in 1988 and has served over 2,500 residents annually. That means we kept them out of institutionalized places. This program has helped out, served 2,391 clients who were considered to be at risk for premature institutionalization in nursing homes, assisted living, or board and care facilities. The program costs the state $1,896 per person, and they have received a large amount from the people who are able to pay, which goes right back into the program. In 2011, the number of potential clients on a waiting list varied from in the 50s up to the 200s. Other Medicaid home and community-based programs cost about $10,000 per year, per person per year, and the nursing home costs are well over the $40,000 range. So this program is not associated with Medicare at all. In fact, it helps folks off the more costly Medicare programs. It's a standalone Wyoming-based program that's paid out of the general funds. It's mean-tested, administered on a sliding scale from 100% of the poverty, federal poverty level, and the services just are not denied to a client that's unable to pay, and that's why we need this money. It's targeted toward clients who do not qualify for Medicaid. It's offered to frail residents 18 and older, but typically they're over 60 years old. The bottom line is this amendment is going to help with some of the cuts that have been made. If you will do this, you'll be able to help more people stay out of these way costly places that they have to go. And I just think it just helps these folks stay in their home, feel good, have somebody check on them, love them. And I would just hope you'd consider the measly little amount of $11,914 to help this program. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time prior to the sponsor. We're voting on second reading amendment or third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1 fails. We're now on third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1. Representative Croker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move to divide this amendment. I did check with LSO to make sure I got the division right. Lines 11 through 15 would be Division 1, and lines 1 through 10 would be Division 2. Sure, rule set is divisible. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move Division 1 to amendment, third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1. Members of the body, I hope we can keep this debate short because I think we had an extensive debate on this the other day that was good. What this would do, Division 1 would take $20 million of the 55 that was going towards the engineering building and just reduce that. I wanted to put this out there because during the debate, it was said by somebody, well, we don't need to stick all that money there, and somebody else said, well, we don't have that choice. The choice is all or none. So I just wanted to provide a third option and give us the choice if we want to spend the whole $55 million or if we only want to spend $35 million on the engineering building right now. And with that, I'll call for the question or answer any questions if anyone has them.
That's the only one.
The only one that's been moved is Division 1. Anyone else for their first time? Yes. Division 1 is lines 1 through 10. Division, and that's been moved. Lines 11 through 15 is Division 2, and that has not been moved.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. I believe Division 1 is actually lines 11 through 13. That's what I believe was moved.
Rip. Okay, so Division 1 is the lines 11 through 15. Is that what you want? Representative Croker, come here.
I had originally said 11 through 15. I think the good chairman said 11 through 13 was the proper division. Either way, I think it accomplishes the same thing.
Okay, so Division 1 is the lines 11 through 15. Is that what you want moved? Okay. All right. Division 2 is lines 1 through 10, and that's not been moved. Division 1 is lines 11 through 15, and that has been moved. Okay. Anybody want to speak on Division 1 for their first time? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against Division Number 1, we had discussions yesterday, and I think there's a lot of misconceptions about where this money is coming from and what it's going to be done with. I think that the good Appropriations Chair will explain the flow of the monies that have been committed to this project for a number of years. One of the carryaways that I had from the discussions afterwards is everybody thinks this is a Taj Mahal building and that it's only serving the high end of the engineering school. That's not true. The majority of the engineers that come out of there are those people that are in civil engineering, and they go out and they provide the engineering services for our cities, towns, and counties. They're the people who keep the roads working and those kinds of things. So if you have a perception of only the elite and the research, that's not what's in this rebuilding of that building. And those of you who had the chance to tour that building 2 years ago, you saw what an abysmal shape it was, and they were working very hard to get there. But but we need that rock-solid basic engineering to build on when we go for the other things that you've been hearing about more recently. So I would urge you to oppose this proposed amendment and stay with where we were. And if you hear the role of how the funds got there, they were actually funds that were adjusted that had been committed earlier. So on and against the proposed amendment number one.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I stand on and against this division. Yesterday, a large corporation gave a significant chunk of change to the university for the purposes of engineering, and I think this would be the wrong message to send at this time. We want to get more of that money from other sources to provide funding for this, and the some of the reason they provide that funding is they know the commitment that this state has put into this. This is an investment in the future of this state, and I would urge you to defeat this division. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against Division 1. And, folks, I just wanted to remind us again, I don't think we talked about it 2 days ago when we debated this issue, but and just to remember that all of us, we have three budget bills, school CapCon, the AML bill, and then our House Bill 1 budget bill. And so when this initially got started, $40 million of UW Engineering was in the AML bill. Now, how the AML process, I'm going to say this so I can understand it very simply, but it goes through a grant process, but it's those funds, they take time on a construction project. They would just sit around and sit around. Now, and then that becomes problematic. Then they go into kind of an AML reversion process. And so many times when we've appropriated AML dollars, what we've done many times is do an interagency swap, usually with Department of Transportation, because they have large projects they can put to work right now. And we can justify that. We can build roads in our energy-impacted communities and those kind of things. Well, this $40 million that was in the AML bill for UW Engineering was probably too big a chunk for the University of Wyoming to move to their block grant and swap out. And so the way this started, this whole process, there was 40 in the AML bill and 30 in our House Bill 1. And then Gillette Madison had $30 million in House Bill 1. So that total was the same there. And so what happened then was a switch where Gillette Madison moved from House Bill 1 to AML dollars, because that can be put to work right away this summer. We've talked to everybody back, even though we've always talked to everybody back east on our AML proposals, but we swapped Gillette Madison over to AML. We took UW Engineering, 30 of that, and put in the budget bill. And so it grew the budget then for UW Engineering from 30 to 60. And then we carved out $5 million of that in JEC. So that's how it came to that amount. That amount has been there. We actually carved out $5 million in JEC. That amount of money has been there the whole time. It's just the mechanism and the switch. And so it made it look very large in the House Bill 1. So with that said, so we understand. And then just backing up on our previous commitments, we appropriated in the last biennium $30 million to this project, but we required that 15 of it be matched so we can turn that 30 into 45. We're almost there on that. It's a pretty neat deal. And I think there'll be more of this to come. But the last point on this, really, we're told what I hear. I mean, we cannot produce enough math, science, background, STEM, science, technology, engineering, math folks. I mean, we are bringing these folks in from all around the world. We could build multiple data centers here if we can produce these folks. So it's very important, I think, to the future of our state. This is probably the most exciting project. You know, we heard 48 hours ago, we go home and tell people we just did an engineering building. And I stated that right on. This is probably the most exciting project that we've had here in many, many years. And this will be one of these transformational, really generational projects. It'll be there. I mean, we talk about the original engineering bill in the late teens and 20s. This will be one of those that will stand for decades and decades and decades. And, again, do we take this money now and put it in the general fund, tip it to the LSRA, and hope we got more money next year?
Oh, we have the money to do it. It's a large one-time project. Let's do it and make this significant investment in our university and really in our people. This is a huge deal and very exciting. So I'd hope you would defeat Division One. Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Just to emphasize what the good coach and chairman of appropriations said, I just want to ask you this question. What is the one thing that we can do to change or shape the future of this state? Just the one thing, the one expenditure that we can make that starts to ensure a future for our children. And what future do you want this state to look like? We serve as a colony now. We produce raw materials and we ship them out for other people to use and profit off of. And if we want to continue our colonial state, we can do that. But if we want to have high technology, new wave, cutting edge, future jobs, we need to lay the groundwork for that. And the groundwork for that is creating the workforce so that our kids can graduate here and stay here. And the way that we do that is we build an engineering college. And we went to there was a big meeting last year, held by one of our big business groups, and they brought in all of the finest minds that they could find to talk about the future of the state of Wyoming. And the one thing that they said was build an engineering school. Train more science, technology, engineering, mathematics people. In my present position, I've had the opportunity during this session to meet with some executives of familiar name multinational corporations. And they tell me that they will build as many data centers as we can build if we can provide them the workforce in science, technology, engineering, and math. And so we have a choice here. We can take this money and put it in the general fund where we will exactly spend it for something else, because anytime we see general fund dollars, that's what we do. We give it to the chief executive officer, or we spend it ourselves. We don't save it. It just goes into the general fund. Or we can save for the future of our children. And this one project, and you haven't heard me speak on much today, but this one was important enough for me to come down out of the chair and share with you at least what my vision of the future of this state is, which is high quality, high paying, great jobs with people trained in science, technology, engineering, and math. I'd urge you to vote against this amendment and preserve the engineering appropriation.
Chairman Davison.
I agree with our good speaker. I think that these things are all important. But at the same time, we don't need to do this in just 1 or 2 years. And what about our citizens? We're supposed to be down here making sure that the welfare of our citizens are taken care of. I don't feel like we've been doing that this year.
You know, Chairman Lockhart, that's for your second. Anybody else for your first time? First time. Representative Hutchings? Anybody else for their first time? Second time. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple of things that sort of rang up here. One, there hasn't been any improvement in that engineering college since 1986, and it's about time we did this. We started putting money away to do that, and they've started through the design processes and that sort of thing so that we can and continue to have rock-solid undergraduate engineering students that will serve the state of Wyoming. Another thing that I noticed on the bill, that this money, if it were to be deleted from that project, it would go to, as I read it, state lands and investment fire. And I think we've had enough discussion about what we're doing in the way of caution about fire that I'm not sure this is what we want to do with the money that could do what the job we've been promising to do for many, many years at the University of Wyoming in the engineering college. So I'd urge the defeat of the amendment number one.
Anybody else for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Croker. We're voting on third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1 has been defeated. We are now... Is there a division?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Division 2, I'm sorry.
And, Mr. Speaker, I will withdraw Division 2 at this time.
Okay, Division 2 has been withdrawn. We're now on third reading amendment number 15 to House Bill 1.
Speaker?
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Could I have a brief privilege of the floor?
You can have a long one if you want.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to break up the rhythm a little bit, I'm going to embarrass Zwanitzer the Elder and Zwanitzer the Younger because neither one of them has introduced Kim. So Kim is here in the North Gallery. Let's say hello.
Welcome to the House. Rita, Representative Campbell, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'm going to introduce Senator Bebout's sister, Ruby Calvert.
Welcome to the House. We are now on third reading amendment number 15 to House Bill 1. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I'd like to move amendment number 15 to House Bill number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. I talked to this body 2 days ago about this. I'd like to point out that Wyoming was the first state to ever have a dude ranch. All of our license plates have a bucking horse and rider on them. We are the cowboy state, and this rodeo is one way that we portray our image as the cowboy state. So in this amendment, all I'm doing is adding a footnote that will request the Department of Tourism to not reduce the budget for the cowboy marketing programs, including the high school national finals, which I mentioned the other day, bring in just under $400,000 in direct tax revenue to the state of Wyoming during their 11 days in Rock Springs. That rodeo will be held in Rock Springs for the next 3 years. It will then move to Gillette for a couple years, following that back to Rock Springs. The college national finals, they're in Casper for the next 10 years, bringing $8 million into the state, not in taxes, but just in revenues for the state. And those are just two I'm highlighting. All the others in the state of Wyoming during the summer months, there's a rodeo every night of the week. That just goes to show that Wyoming is a major part, or rodeo is a major part of Wyoming. And so that's why I've asked for this amendment. Basically, I want the Department of Tourism to help promote the cowboy image for the cowboy state. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really reluctantly rise in opposition to this amendment because I love the cowboy marketing program, and I would be the loudest eye in the room if this were adding funds back in for that, or any of the four programs that have been cut in, that have received a cut in this department, because they all have a proven return on investment for the state. But for those of you who have sat through testimony from the Office of Tourism, you know the extensive process that they go through to make sure how many ads they place in any market and what types of advertising they place in any market are effective, and they scientifically plan all of their ad buys. Last year, our state tourism director was named State Tourism Director of the Year by the National Association representing all of the state directors. And that award was based on actual measurable industry performance compared to the budget. In other words, we were the most effective tourism spending in the nation. And I don't think that we can make decisions in the legislature that are going to improve on that performance. We've asked them to make strategic cuts that will least impact getting tourists into this state. And we don't know where these new random cuts will land. Most of us didn't want any cuts to any of the four programs this department recommended, particularly the biggest cut, which was more than half of the cut that came from the co-op community advertising, but we didn't fight it in the spirit of shared sacrifice. The cowboy marketing program received a $118,000 biennial cut. There remains $380,000 in that program. The contracts with the cowboys have already been executed for the year, and there is funding left over for the high school and college national finals, but it is at a reduced level. So I just think we should leave it up to the department to figure out how to best manage their cuts.
Representative
Swanitz or Dan?
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Not in favor or opposed, just a question if anyone knows with the Department of Tourism if they've already encumbered this money or, you know, to buy these ad contracts and buys in advance, if we actually are causing them some heartburn or some pain if they've already committed to some of this money, because most of us plan our tourism or advertising buys well in advance on long-term contracts. So that's the only thing that concerns me, if anyone knows the answer.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment. The city, one of the cities I represent, just got the National High School Rodeo this year. They estimated it brought in $4 million to our communities. So the economic benefit is there. And I don't believe there's going to be a big burden on the tourism board, but I don't know that answer. But please support this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just remind the body that this is budget neutral. And so just remind everybody this agency has a almost $28 million budget. But the unique thing about it is that it's a $21 million in 900 series and contracts. And this program is part of that 900 series. Now, the cuts offered up then are about $900,000. And so the good representative says, out of that $900,000 cut out of the $21 million, don't take the $118,000 for when we host the college finals and the high school finals, and you heard about the economic impact. You know, we had that in Campbell County at one point. It's in Sweetwater now. The high school has thousands of kids. So it's budget neutral, but this is exactly how we set policy as appropriators. And so I appreciate the way he brought it, and I'm going to support it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Yagi.
In answer to the question by the senator on the representative over there, they could live within this cut when they brought that to TRW. This wasn't going to be a major bother to them to do this. They didn't like it, but they said they could live with it and they could still function. Thank you.
Anybody else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just once again ask for your favorable support and help promote the cowboy image here in the cowboy state. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 15 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 15 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. We're now on third reading amendment number 32 to House Bill 1. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, before you come up and move the amendment, if you'd come up here for a second. All right, we're on third reading amendment number 32 to House Bill 1. Hold on to your socks for this one, folks. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 32 to House Bill 1 and urge your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this implements or would implement a number of ideas at the university that have been percolating for quite some time. So I'll go through the amendment as quickly as I can, and I would ask your favorable consideration. It starts out at line 6 and says, not later than October 31 of this year, the trustees shall report to the Minerals Committee, the Education Committee, and the Appropriations Committee, and provide recommended changes to either existing legislation or university regulations to make the following management changes. Number one, report on current practices for installing permanent or semi-permanent artwork on campus and recommend a policy requiring prior trustee approval of artwork which is permanent or semi-permanent and which becomes a fixture on university properties. Number two, a report to those committees on the current practices of selecting deans of the colleges and recommend a policy which incorporates a selection committee that uses non-university personnel trained in the disciplines in that particular college, and which eliminates the capacity of individual university faculty to eliminate or veto candidates for dean selection. Number three, report to those committees on the current practice of selecting and retaining staff assigned to the School of Energy Resources, and recommend a policy which provides for approval and review of that staff by the Energy Resources Council. Number four, report on the current practice of raising buildings constructed as a part of the original campus prior to 1980 and recommend a policy that provides for an approval by us before raising any buildings, and that's specifically directed to one historic building on campus that is scheduled in the future to be raised. Number five, report on current policies for architectural features on new buildings on campus so as to preserve the appearance of the campus as it is around Prexy's Pasture. Number six, report on the custodian of matching funds appropriated by the state for matching programs, and the detail is there, and include a mechanism to match funds and future gifts and work with the Joint Judiciary Interim Committee to transfer all state matching funds to a permanent education trust fund established under Article 15, Section 20 of the Constitution. And last, report on the allocation and assignment of endowed faculty positions and develop a policy for annually reporting to us on the allocation. Now, what are we trying to do here? We're trying to do some fundamental things in the university that come down to this. We made a decision when we passed 223 that we were going to defer to the trustees of the university as to the selection of a president and the method of selection that they recommended. This is in furtherance of deference to the trustees of the university and really ask the trustees to get involved in these things. Now, the artwork thing, that's caused us a lot of problems, and I hope that you've had the opportunity to talk to some of your fellow legislators because it runs deeper than it appears. As to the selection of deans on university campuses, there is a system in place which allows individual faculty to eliminate or veto candidates for deans and really overrides the trustee process when it comes to the selection of the deans of the colleges. The staff at the School of Energy Resources needs to be selected, reviewed, and approved by the Energy Resources Council. That was something that was set up by us. Raising buildings on campus is something that we ought to approve. We used to appropriate money for raising buildings. It used to be a separate appropriation so that we knew and approved raising buildings. There's now a plan in place there that would cut us out of that loop. The architectural features on the new buildings, if you look, we have the $100 million or so engineering building coming up. We have some other buildings that some of us got to tour the other day. Believe me, the architectural style of those buildings is changing. And so this would ask the trustees to review and develop a policy to preserve the appearance of the campuses the way it is around Prexy's Pasture. Then when you get to number six, the matching funds, the problem is there that we have a system in place that's unconstitutional. And a lot of those matching funds are being managed by the University Foundation. which is a 501c3. That's actually Internal Revenue Code, but it's a 501c3 corporation, and that university foundation appoints its own successors. And when we put our money in there, into that foundation, we have legally lost control of it. And that is the section of the Constitution that's cited requires us to keep control of all money. So this says take all those matching funds and put them in an account with the state treasurer. And not only that, but there's things going on with that money while it's in the foundation. There's a management fee being raked off, and there are earnings from those funds that are being applied by the foundation in other purposes. And that's clearly unconstitutional under Article 15, Section 20. And then the allocation and assignment of endowed faculty positions and a report to the legislature is something that we should understand. Those are endowed chairs, and again, those are monies that we are losing control of. So I would urge your favorable vote on this amendment. It does do several things to the university, but it's all oriented toward restoring the control of the university to the trustees who, in my opinion, I've always said, really do two things. They set policy and they oversee management, and these are all oriented toward those goals. So I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And let me just tell the body, we could have had fun, but we've had a mini rules committee meeting, and I was going to divide this monster into 10 pieces. And let me tell you, and because we can't do that, I'm just going to encourage you to vote no. In general, what my divisions would have done is say, yes, all of these reports, they're good. And in fact, I love the fact that the reports will go to three distinct committees during the interim, which would mean that at least a third, if not close to a half of the body, would see them. I think this kind of information is something that would be valuable for us to look at. And in fact, I will encourage the university, if this goes down, that they should do it anyway. But what I don't like about it is that there is often a very specific policy recommendation after the report. It doesn't say policy recommendations. It doesn't give us choices, but it says a very specific policy report. So, for example, just look at Romanet 4. Report on the current practice of raising buildings constructed as part of the original campus prior to 1980. All right, I think that's good. But then there's a very specific policy, and recommend a policy which provides for approval by the legislature before raising any historic building. I'm not sure that's the only policy that should come out of that report. I'm not sure this body should be responsible for approving raising of buildings. I don't know that. I want to find out about the practice of raising buildings and perhaps then think about policy alternatives. If we look at the next one, report on the current policies for architectural features of new buildings on campus. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. But then the next phrase is, and recommend a permanent policy. First of all, we never use the phrase permanent before policy. Policy is used throughout here without the word permanent. So if we make every word meaningful, I don't know what a permanent policy is. For minimum standards of appearance, which then very specifically preserves classical architecture, et cetera. I might like that, but that's only one policy, and it's a permanent policy. I don't know what that is. Romanet 3, in all honesty, I don't think it gets to what the bringers of the amendment wanted. Report on the current practices of selecting and retaining staff assigned to the School of Energy Resources and recommend a policy which provides an approval and a review process for school staff by the Energy Resources Council. Two issues with that one. Staff means something very specific at the university. There's three categories of personnel, administrators, faculty, and staff. Staff are custodians, secretaries, faculty are very different than staff, and administrators, too, are different. I don't think the language in Romanet 3 was meant to mean staff. I also think that the policy recommendation is to have the Energy Resources Council review the process for the school staff. What I I don't think we want that for faculty either. We would never get the quality of faculty that this body has talked about for SER if it has two distinct review processes, both the TMP process, the tenure and promotion process within the university, and the Energy Resources Council. So because I can't divide this in the way that I think is meaningful, and I would have gone through each one of these, but we really can't do it. I would encourage you to vote no, because honestly, this doesn't make sense. And that I would encourage the university, who I assume is out there listening, all right, to provide these reports on their own. Thank you.
Representative Patton.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I think there would be at least 59 of you that would really be startled at how much I know on how to run the university. At least 59 of you. Well, no, I'll correct that. All 60. Rising on and opposed to the bill. We ask for 7 different reports, 5 of which are current policies for various things that apparently we object to or don't know enough about. I'm sure that when we got all through with all this, and if we read each and every report and had each in our hands, we would all automatically suspect that we don't need a president of the university. We would be in charge. I think it's time that we have confidence in some of the things that are happening with the public institutions in the state of Wyoming that are being managed by people appointed or are elected to their respective positions. This is not one of them. Vote no.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly here, on and against the amendment. I'm just having a hard time as a freshman understanding why this bill was brought as a budget amendment. To me, it just seems like an avenue of sidestepping bill draft deadlines, and I just think that it's kind of really a waste of the body's time to be discussing this with 11 other budget amendments waiting in line.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I apologize for getting up because he said about everything I wanted to say. I just think this would have been better in a bill vetted in a committee where we could hear what the university and other folks have to say. Thank you.
Representatives Wanath or Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also against the amendment, there's a whole lot more going on here than I think we realize, especially on number Romanet 5. I think we all realize what Romanet 1 is about. And I guess I could get into it on the floor, but that's probably not appropriate. So I would ask you to vote down this. However, I'm pretty confident you may see it in the conference committee come back in. But at this time, at least it's a good position for the House not to allow this to be put into the budget bill, because I do think it is a bill. And I think the UW Board of Trustees could do any of these things on their own should they want to and feel it was appropriate to come to the legislature to, you know, review. We review policies by the university all the time. We meet with the university once or twice a year already. And I just don't think this kind of report late in the session is needed.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Chairman Harshman.
I'm going to support the amendment, but just my thank you, Mr. Speaker. These are real issues, and particularly with a significant amount of money. And really think about the University of Wyoming that's in our Constitution, and we are here to represent the people. It is the people's university. It's not, you know, a tenured professor who can veto. And there's just some of this stuff has just gotten out of whack. And I think this is an attempt to bring this university back really to the people. Really have some accountability, and I think in particular the piece with the foundation funds. You know, that is an issue I've always been concerned about, and we appropriate state money, it goes to the foundation, and we lose control. It's gone. And I think that's an issue. So I'm going to support this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just 2 quick items. Item III or 111, depending on how you want to read that, That's something that we as a legislature set apart from the university functions normally, and we did that for a reason, and so I think getting clarity in that area is an important item. One of the other questions that was asked, couldn't we have committees look at these things? We will have these committees, or these reports come to committees, and then they will come back to the legislature, so you'll have a full report of what has been done during this interim period of time. And so it does get information that comes back to us through our standing committee processes.
Anybody else? Chairman Swanitz or Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I commend the ideas that the bringer brought on this bill, and I think there are things that need to be looked at, but I do have some reservations when we start making policy here in the budget. And the second thing is, it looks to me like it should be an outside firm that comes in and looks at these issues, especially if we're looking for recommendations rather than being self-imposed. So with that, I would vote or ask for your no vote.
Anyone else for your first time? Anyone else not spoken on this amendment? For your second time? Second time. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I just remind you that the university is in the Constitution, and we pour money into this thing. We pour gargantuan amounts of money into this thing, and it's completely within our power, and it's appropriate under the budget bill as a part of all the money that's being appropriated to the university that we give it this direction. The other thing I would remind you is, as with all these budget footnotes, and I think it's frequently overlooked, these budget footnotes only last as long as the budget lasts. So this is not a permanent change. This is not a permanent thing. It sets things in motion. It requires reports to be made to those committees. It requires things to start rolling. If they're going to continue to roll, depending on what those reports show, depending on the policies that are developed and how they're put together, there's going to have to be subsequent work, which would quite conceivably be in the form of bills. But this all goes as a condition on the money that goes to the university to get that process started. As I say, it lasts till the end of the budget, and then if it's going to continue, it'll be in the more appropriate process. So on that, I would urge you to vote in favor of the amendment.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 32 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Chair is in doubt. All in favor, please rise. Guess I shouldn't have been in doubt. Opposed. More than 23. Third reading amendment number 32 to House Bill 1 fails. Brothers and sisters, just so that I wanted to update you on the Rules Committee ruling. If you look at our Rule 11.5, it says any member may call for a division of a question if the motion relating to a certain subject contains several parts, each of which is capable of standing as a complete proposition if the others are removed. If you looked at that budget amendment, I couldn't figure out how to make it so that all of the propositions stand alone, because that main paragraph had to go with all of the subparagraphs. So that's what the Rules Committee ruling was. We're now on third reading amendment number 30 to House Bill 1. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move third reading amendment number 30 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, I'd like you just to take a minute and just lean back and look at the Tiffany style glass. Just take everybody, please. And you see in the middle. Now, if you have new glasses, you can see on your right, my left, and the state seal. It says livestock, and then below that, I think it says grains, and then move to your left, my right, it says at the top that banner minerals, and below that oil, our state seal. That's what I said, mining. Mr. Speaker, mining. And oil, I believe. Okay. Now, this was installed in 1917, I think, on this third addition to the Capitol. The Capitol's built, I guess, second addition, the third build out of the Capitol. Some of you will be here when the fourth, perhaps, build out or some other structure. You know, there's probably room to add to it. It's kind of interesting to think about. But not that I want to get off, Mr. Speaker, too far in the weeds on this stained glass, but it was pretty cool. We appropriated money, cleaned it all up, thousands of pieces of glass removed, cleaned, re-leaded. But anyway, back to this amendment, Mr. Speaker. And well, what the amendment does, it talks about the half-acre art and says universities shall require artwork that incorporates the themes of our seal. It's as simple as that, and then it requires the Board of Trustees to approve it. So we got the SCR mineral guys out, and whoever else was the last approval on that. And this simply incorporates these themes in our state seal, which we put on the sidewalk out front, which is absolutely appropriate for an educational institution to educate our kids. I mean, they're going to our university. How many of them have actually seen the state seal? And so that's my amendment, and I ask for your favorable consideration, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman's one, or Representative's one, it's her Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Strongly urging, imploring, beseeching, whatever your word you want to use, you to vote no. It's just kind of funny at this point. We're arguing over artwork in a gym. But if that's where we are, so be it. I would ask you to look back up at that seal. We didn't seem to mention the big blue part of the top that says equal rights. So if you have a group of university people and they're suggesting artwork and they're already bitter about this, I'm pretty sure you're going to find them bringing some pro-equal rights type of artwork to the gym. And if that's the type of artwork this body wants in the gym, I mean, so be it. I don't think many of you are comfortable with certain other bills we've seen this year, but I can imagine the university is going to get real creative if you let something like this in there. They're going to find some artwork that expresses and challenges this state as we move forward. So vote your conscience. I thought we had a pretty good debate on second reading when we took this out. You all remember it was my amendment that took this part out, and we heard the debate there. So now it's back, and I'd ask you to resist this amendment.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the bringer of the amendment. If this had been in place for that sculpture that was on the lawn at the university, it still would have been built, I would assume. I just want to make sure if this is going to have the intended effect, because I think it would still be able to classify as one of those that has to do with the state seal. So if you could just answer that, I'd appreciate it.
Representative Hutchings.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I respectfully stand on and against this amendment. I talked to the great appropriations chairman on this particular issue, and I want to remind the body that the Wyoming State Statute 16-6-802A states, the original construction of any new building shall include works of art for public display. By voting aye on this amendment, we will spend $150,000 for artwork on a building being renovated, not for new original construction. I believe the artwork should come from the existing front entrance of the half-acre gym. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Harshman.
And thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I do indeed hope that equal rights are part of the artwork. And I think we all would. So I think the seal ought to be in part of it. I think it'd be an awesome deal. And if you've ever been to this facility, it's more than a gym. And it's really one of the coolest buildings on campus, part of the original history of our university. So encourage your aye vote and let the trustees then take a look at it, as should be. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 30 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 30 fails. We are now on third reading amendment number 16 to House Bill 1. I guess you can't vote until you've heard the motion. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I'd point out to the good representative from Natrona County, he's kind of blocking the aisle there, but I'll go ahead and move third reading amendment number 16 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. And it's kind of hard to speak from the back when you're going to show some charts very quickly. Amendment number 16, if I'm in the right place, the art discussion just kind of distracted me there. Amendment number 16 is an amendment that picks up on a piece of what we discussed on second reading. And all it does is make sure that the income from the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, which is statutorily designated to be used, ends up in the SIPA. So if you remember our purple charts and our green charts, purple silo and green silo from the other day, all this does is put roughly $18 million more in the SIPA. And because I worked out a compromise with the good chairman of appropriations, we tightened up the language a little bit on how it can be used. So with that, I'd stand for questions, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members, just to remember, this takes in about another $18 million. There's two pieces of this, is why I've signed on to it. Takes in that $18 million that would tip to the LSRA. This will in no way affect flows or tips in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. It's really important, but I think also the language change, more definition to what the SIPA account is, and it's on line 7 of your amendment, to include a couple words. It says large, now says, if you adopt this amendment, large one-time capital projects. So it's more specific. So what this does then, this will give the governor and then us an opportunity to look at this. If it comes, if this money comes through and we're gone at the end of the fiscal year on June 30th, we'll give the governor a place to look for these Madison projects, large construction projects, those kind of things, to make a request out of. And that's what this does. That's it. It has no effect on the tip or any of those things in the permanent trust fund. So thank you. And there's one coming after, I think, that kind of melds with this differently, but same kind of issues. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This language about one-time funding is not even worth the paper that it's written on, because as soon as we come back to appropriate that money, we just change the language. So I guess if it makes you feel good right now to do that, that's fine, but it doesn't hold any force because we just changed the law.
Anything to make me feel good now. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's what I agree with you on, is I want to feel good. But ladies and gentlemen, when I worked on this summer and fall with a state to the north of us, northeast to us, that has had a great windfall of mineral revenues that have come into their state, and they started developing an account like this. And I got to thinking about it, too, because we have different places to put funds. But this is important, as we've been losing some of our other AML funds and other areas that we have used for one-time construction or important projects. We don't have that capability today as greatly. And I think that this is a good move, and I would support the amendment.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Second time. Madam Minority Floor Leader, are you? Or Chairman Harshman.
Well, I just remind the body that, and I too feel good about the language, but I want to make sure that, 31 votes can change anything. That's not constitutionally protected. 31 votes could appropriate the entire LSRA. So I think, but what we tried to do with this language change was to really steer the direction of the chief budget officer so he doesn't come back with proposals to appropriate out of this for ongoing programs. That's the idea behind it. We more precisely defined it, that these large one-time capital projects, not just growth of general government. So that's the idea, and perhaps I didn't explain that as well. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We discussed this quite a bit a couple days ago, so I hope everybody remembers that discussion. I think it's important that we be open with folks, that we put the money, the earnings from the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, as statutorily designated, in a place where they can be used to invest in the state. And with that, I would call for the question.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 16 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 16 to House Bill 1 passes the House. We're now on third reading amendment number 17 to House Bill 1. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is an important concept. It's a budget balancer and a transfer. And now what we have just done with our vote, our House position, is to set aside for next year's budget, or this language only lasts one more year, and then the SIPA will go away unless we reauthorize it. But so we've just set aside roughly $100 million if it comes in. That's not money in the bank. That's money we hope will be here next year if we have Madison, some of these big projects, AML, engineering, those kind of things. So, but what happens to if we have some other, the permanent mental trust fund is only one revenue source. Of course, we have severance taxes, sales and use taxes, pooled income interest is a major one, FMRs, all these other cigarette taxes and on and on. But what if they come in above the Craig estimate? And what we've been doing is letting that ride it in the biennium. Last year, we tipped it at the end of the year. And this is a proposal that if this comes, and we're fortunate to have this revenue, that we would, based on our January Craig, allow $40 million to stay in the general fund. That's about 1.5% of the budget. And then anything in excess of that would tip. Now, think what, and this is based on January Craig, would tip into the LSRA. Now, remember last year we had about $5 million kind of as we came into this budget session off October Craig, and that grew to $90 million with January Craig. So if this happens and we can reach this $40 million threshold, there's a chance it could go down. It'll probably be a little more than that. But this would be, so think in terms of the chief executive proposing a budget, potentially could give him $100 million for large projects and about 1.5% of the biennial budget, as we'll appropriate over $3 billion next year, for other proposals. So we're not, and I guess I want to set this aside as a planning tool for us and for the chief executive as we look ahead to the future and how we budget next year with our, and many of us will be our first, you know, first biennial budget. So I'd stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Not a minority floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not sure I'm following this, so I guess with the revenues that we know of today, how much money would tip into the LSRA and how much is going to stay in the general fund? What's the most that stays in the general fund under this amendment? Because I don't think we should be starving the general fund.
Representative or Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to urge the body to support this. This is smart budgeting, or it's a precursor to smart budgeting. It gives a little bit of flexibility for unforeseen events between now and when the chief executive has to work on a budget, and I urge you to support this.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. More of a question than a position. If I understand the Craig report correctly, it does not include capital gains, realized capital gains. Of course, unrealized capital gains, I hope, are not a part of the calculation. But if that is correct, are we then providing for a means of capturing the realized capital gains to go into the stabilization account, reserve account?
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman, are you not a minority floor leader? You're dancing with the podium there. I couldn't tell.
I guess, you know, it's kind of hard to get questions answered when we only have two times, but we have roughly $100 million, and I don't have the right paper in front of me, in realized capital gains. That means cash in the bank from the pooled agency account that would otherwise flow to the general fund. Now, if the stock market crashes between now and the end of the fiscal year, we have a lot more to worry about than whether we suffer capital losses. We won't have a very pleasant time next year. So we have $100 million in cash, and if I understand this amendment correctly, and maybe the good sponsor will correct me if I'm wrong, that is money that should go to the general fund so that's available. We just took $55 million from the general fund to fund a large project at the university. I think we need to keep money in our general fund so we can take care of the people of the state of Wyoming. We have $1.6 billion in the LSRA that we are not going to need for roughly, may not need at all, for years. And that's just what's in the LSRA. You can find another few hundred million on the goldenrod today in cash that will get you to $2 billion. So let's leave these capital gains in the general fund and not have them spill over to the LSRA. And if I'm wrong about what this amendment does, save that speech for when it applies.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, this is based on January Craig. So as of today, there would be this doesn't exist. This is a hope that it does exist. To answer the good representative from Sheridan County, it would be realized and unrealized, all income other than permanent mineral trust income. So, and where we would get maybe unrealized capital gains would be in that pooled income account. And we hope we do. So, what should we set aside? Well, it was referenced, we just took 55 out of the general fund for UW Engineering. Well, hopefully we won't have to do that now because we've set up a $100 million account for those type of expenditures in the SIPA that we just adopted on the last amendment. So what is the amount that we could grow government, you think? Come down here for these initiatives that you talked about. Well, I think a 1.5% is probably a pretty good number to start with. And this number, if we can reach it, it's probably not going to go down with an October adjusted Craig and a next year's January Craig. It's probably going to only go up. Unless something bad happens, and then we got more trouble to worry about than that. And remember, just think of our experience, folks, as we came this year. What was October, Craig? There was $5 million, I think, on the goldenrod, 4.9. What was it when we came in January? It was 90, 89 something. So that's how usually that'll move up. We're all hopeful. But I think it's a reasonable approach to think government will probably grow a little bit through inflation, through retirement, benefit increases, our health care will probably go up. So plan a little bit to maybe have this so we can plan and the chief executive can plan. And then, but if we have a tremendous windfall, what if we had something tremendous happen? Would you want $500 million in the general fund? I don't think so. One year I was here, we had $1 billion surplus. I just don't think that's a good way to budget. And we've gotten ourselves into trouble with that, and I think this is an appropriate way to kind of plan for the future. And so today, if this happened, there's not $1 in this. Hopefully, after the end of the fiscal year, we come back, we can get up to $40 million in gains from our non-permanent trust fund sources, pooled income, severance taxes, FMRs, sales and use tax. So I think it's really important for our planning as we move forward. So I'd urge your adoption. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 17 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 17 carries. We're now on third reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sort of to follow on from the last discussion, I think, you know, we are not dealing, as we sit here today, with current information about either budgetary needs or our revenues. The good chairman of appropriations in the last discussion just spoke about the January Craig. As if it were gospel. Well, we already know the January Craig is off by roughly $100 million. And by the summer, when agencies start preparing their budgets for our consideration next winter, the information will be even more stale than it is now. So the purpose of this amendment is to delete the language in the budget bill that mandates agencies prepare 8% across the board cuts for 15-16. That is not good government on our part to mandate that agencies do that when we aren't the ones with the most information. Also, I don't think in general that across the board cuts are realistic. We just went through that this year, and certainly it was extremely difficult. And I don't think the agencies can take that. I think we have to give flexibility to the agencies. There might be agencies that should be cut by 25% for all we know, and some that can't take a cut at all. So I don't think it's appropriate for us to preordain that. Plus, we're creating work for agencies when they have other things to do. It takes time to prepare budgets. It causes stress on agencies when perhaps it's unnecessary. And I think at this point in time, when we've already succeeded in 6% cuts, that we let those with the best information and the timely information this summer make those decisions, we can come back and cut to our heart's content next year. And at that point in time, we'll have the best recommendations from the agencies, we'll have the best information available about the revenues. And right now, we're just not in a position to make this kind of recommendation.
Anyone else for their first time? Anybody for their first time? Chairman Madden.
Yeah, just brief. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I think we've kind of gone to the well already on this. And I'm not going to repeat myself on the ability for everybody to come up with 8%. Obviously, the Tourism Promotion Department or Tourism Department, they can come up with 8% with a stroke of a pen. But we've already acknowledged, for example, that the Justice Department, they can't do it. Judges, it's all labor. And we got all labor departments in other parts of the executive division, and it kind of makes us look silly because we're saying one size fits all, and one size doesn't fit all in these kind of environments. And I think we need to give the executive a little bit of credit that they will be lean with their budgets and will do what they can. There might be some that will come back with 10% less, or maybe some that will come back with a recommendation that a program within an agency would be cut altogether. And it's I think it casts us in a bad light that we are so naive as to think that 8% is a good number for everybody to come back to again once they've already come back to it this year. So I urge you not to support this amendment.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the fix that it comes in the next amendment. So I think, but I will tell you this. I just back up, rewind the history on this. Over a year ago now, when we were preparing this biennial budget, the agencies came with $900 million in new requests. And then we said, whoa. And the governor said, whoa. And there was proposals went out, $900 million in requests. So I'll talk more about this exercise, but I think we can fine-tune this a little more on the next amendment. I would encourage you to keep the budget bill intact, defeat this amendment. We can fine-tune a little more here in the next 10 minutes. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
I would urge the body to adopt this amendment. I think for all the reasons the good economist said, it's really bad when you have economists and lawyers teaming up. But I think as a practical matter, it's really a policy question about the proper role of this body. Certainly, agencies might come in with cuts. They might come in with you know, huge requests, but then it's the chief executive's job to whittle those down. It's not our job to micromanage from a distance. And I'd urge you to vote aye on the amendment.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All in favor of third reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1, stand. Those opposed. Third reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1 has failed. Brothers and sisters of the 62nd, just a roadmap for the rest of the day. We are four-fifths done with this amendment with budget amendments. We've got seven more to do and then pass the budget. After that, we'll do messages from the Senate, reports from standing committees, signing of enrolled acts. The majority floor leader has informed me that we will not do general file today. There is nothing nefarious about moving the suppressor bill to first thing Monday morning. It's just that we didn't need another hour and a half debate on anything tacked on at the end of the day. So that's the roadmap for the day, brothers and sisters. We're now on third reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move third reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, this is it deals with the 8% cut that is in the current law, and it refines that a bit. And I would draw your attention to line 22. In the second sentence, it says, within each agency's 2015-16 biennial budget. Now drop down a line that includes on line 24 a 4%, a 6%, and an 8% budget reduction. Now, this is not a hard exercise for the agencies. One of our largest agencies came back with a plan A and a plan B after we told them to go back to work, came back within 3 days. So this is something that you will be involved with in your standing committees. And I guess, and let me say that it includes standing committees in this as well. And so that's a piece of this as well. And the next amendment will deal with the courts in a similar fashion. But this does not address the courts. So 4, 6, and 8, all agencies except health, which is 2, 4, and 6. And the current language in the budget is 6 for health. And so we left those top ranges in, but we put options for lower numbers to look at. And all those things that were said, absolutely, we didn't do across-the-board cuts this year. We had several agencies spared cuts. We had few agencies actually had increases. So we have. I don't want that to go out on the internet world that we did across-the-board cuts. You guys did a great job in your standing committees. The governor concurred with much of your work, and that was brought to us, and we concurred with much of your work. And none of it was across the board. It was all over the map, and you tried to do it very thoughtfully. And so we appreciate that work, and hopefully with this amendment, we'll put everybody back to work on that exercise again in the interim. So I'd stand for any questions.
Any discussion? Not a minority floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The one reason I didn't pull the last amendment was because I knew this one was coming, and so I would just not repeat myself from the prior debate. This is the height of overreach by this body. It's not our job. We need to let the executive branch function as the executive branch. We function as the legislative branch. The governor, governor's office, the chief executive, is obligated to present a balanced budget. Let's let the folks with the best information come back to us with what they really need to do their jobs. And this does create a lot of work for agencies. This is a huge job for them. And I think it's really not good government and not good management on our part to make these kinds of demands on the executive branch.
Anyone else? Representatives Wanitz or Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, against the amendment. And here's my real concern, and I guess it gets more frustrating to me every year because I was here under the last executive and we did budget cuts and we've done budget cuts. But this year we asked all the executive branch and the judicial branch to do cuts, and now we're asking the executive branch to do cuts again next year, but we haven't asked the legislative branch to do any cuts. We didn't pass any cuts on our branch of government. We didn't have a reduction. And so I live in Cheyenne, where I have a large number of state employees in my district who work for the executive branch. And I have to keep going back and convincing them that this is good and that their budgets will get out of control if we don't, you know, put these parameters on them. And all the while I have to tell them, but I'm not walking the walk and talking the talk, because in my branch of government, we're not doing the same thing. And so that would be my question, is how can we keep cutting and trying to slim down the executive branch when we're not willing to do it to ourselves?
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I stand on and for this amendment. Having served on a board that helped run an agency, I think this method by which you look at various cuts was very... It was a good way for us as a board to evaluate different cuts within the agencies and to make decisions, and it kind of prioritized at different levels, and I think it was an aid in doing that, and it allowed the agencies to say, hey, if we make this, this is the impact. If we do this, this is the impact. If we do the higher one, this is the impact. I thought it was a good way to prioritize cutting. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I draw our attention to the letter that we received from the Office of the Governor dated February 6th. I just wanted to ask the proponents of this amendment if what we're doing here or considering is in spirit with the letter that was written. He states, if reductions are necessary because of a change in revenue, unexpected events, or an altered course, then of course we must be prepared and ready to respond. I did this last year when I asked agencies to double their cuts, but I do not believe in reducing for the sake of reducing, or that reduction is only if a job, program, or opportunity is lost. So I just question if we are following the same spirit as the governor's office expresses itself.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative, or Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the last speaker, you know, really captured the essence of it. We are not in a gloom and doom situation, despite what the good chair of appropriations wants all of us to believe. You have multiple charts sitting on your desk showing that basically what we've done the last few years to save and to cut government has worked. You know, it is, and I, the good speaker from the land of Sublet is correct that, you know, asking for options from agencies might be a good practice, but that's not our job. That is the job of the executive branch, and then it's his job and their job to propose a budget. And if we were indeed facing frightening fiscal times, it might require drastic action. But we are not in a fiscal crisis. We have reason to be cautious. We always have the obligation to be prudent, but this is not a time for legislative overreach. Let the system work. Let the budget process work as it's supposed to work, and we'll come back next year and do our job. So I would urge you to defeat this amendment.
Anybody else for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With all due respect, I did not say the words doom and gloom. I've never said that. I've said how lucky we are in Wyoming, and we are really in nice shape. We are. But there are cautionary things out there, and we want a plan.
Secondly, I think consider the amendment. It is less than what the law currently says. The law says 8%. This gives options for 6 and 4. The law says 6 for health. It gives options for 4 and 2. This is not a difficult exercise. We've asked agencies, they give us options and menus all the way through it. We did that this year. In regards to the legislative branch, and I didn't think of it, should have brought the amendment. I wish you'd have brought the amendment. I would have supported you. Our 30 employees, and then if we wanted to get into our salaries, that would be fine. But I think the issue about this policy issue and overreach by this branch of government, and let the people with the best information decide this for us. Well, I tell you, then we as 7 members of this 60 sit for 4 weeks and listen for an afternoon to each agency for the people who have the best information, and that's all we get is their filtered best information. And we do the best we can, we wade through it, and then we make the cut. I think there's a better way. I think is to get those people who supposedly have the best information to get it to all of us, particularly you folks who are developing expertise in those areas on your standing committees, and then you can thoughtfully take time. It'll go through a couple-step process to us. And I think that's absolutely the right way to do is knowledge. Take these people who have the best information and spread it to all of us, and then we'll make the best decision because we are the appropriators. It's not the executive downstairs. We are the ones who have to make the tough votes that affect people's lives and affect the future of the state. And for us not to be involved in this process, I disagree. And again, to remind you, this is less than the cuts that are currently in law. This gives us options of less cuts. And so this is very important. It's in a very important exercise. And as we plan and develop budgets for the future, so I urge your support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1 carries. We are now voting, we're now on third reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1. Before Chairman Harshman, before we do that, let me read Mason's manual to you just as a reminder of rules of procedure. Section 111 of Mason's manual says it's unparliamentary and inconsistent with the independence of a legislative body to refer to the name or office of the executive in order to influence the vote. It is in order to debate or refer to the executive or the executive's opinions with either approval or criticism when such references are relevant to the subject under discussion or otherwise conform to the rules. It is irregular and unparliamentary for a member in one house of a legislature to quote or refer to a vote by which a measure is passed in the other house. Just as a procedural reminder in the middle of the afternoon, because I thought you were bored. We're now on third reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move third reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1 and ask for your consideration. Folks, this does a similar thing with the courts. The law that we adopted currently says 4% cuts. This gives options on line 9. You can see a budget with first option is no reduction, so a flat budget. The second option is 2%. And the third option, which is our only option right now, in law is 4%. So again, I'm trying to lower these and give some flexibility and some options to us and that branch of government as well. Stand for questions.
Any discussion on third reading amendment number 18? Anyone else for first time? First time? You're kind of fooling me, Madam Minority Floor Leader. Okay. All right. Second time? We're voting on third reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those no. Third reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1 passes to House. We are now on third reading amendment number 19 to House Bill 1. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I apologize if I referred too much to the executive branch. I was trying to do that in the appropriate way. In any event, the purpose of this amendment is to remove the judiciary from this process. Several of us here were on judiciary when they brought their budget reductions through. There are not places to cut in the judiciary, and to the extent there were, they've pretty much been done. The judiciary functions on a tight budget. They provide direct and some of the most important services that government is required to provide. In terms of workload, the judiciary routinely does a workload analysis. That's how we determine whether additional judges are needed, and they all operate with independent and pretty slim staffs. So I think, again, it's really not appropriate to have any language in the budget related to additional cuts in the judiciary. It's a make-work project for them, based on what we heard in the last judiciary over the interim. There really aren't places left to cut. So I would propose that you support this amendment, and it just simply removes the judiciary from the process.
Any further discussion on Chairman Harshman?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I encourage the members to vote no, and we have this option currently that you just adopted to have zero or no growth. But to think that this is not an important exercise and that anyone's exempt, and I think in the future we'll bring our branch in as well. So urge your no vote on this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rising on in support of the amendment, and I'm going to diverge a little. I realize that we have this idea that we need to do this uniformly, but I'm not convinced that there's any room left to cut either. I think they have statutory functions that they need to, that they have to do. All of their money is almost entirely tied up in positions, and I'm sensitive to the argument that it doesn't make sense. I mean, we ought to take the cut where the cut makes sense, and we ought to look deeper into programs inside the rest of state government, but the judicial branch is pretty lean. I would ask you to vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
I think everyone knows the general themes. I just urge you to vote aye on this amendment.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 19 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 19 carries. Division. Okay. All in favor of third reading amendment number 19, please stand. Chairman Harshman. Those opposed. That's close. Third reading amendment number 19 to House Bill number 1 fails. We are now on third reading amendment number 12 to House Bill 1. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 12 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, in order to be able to talk about this amendment, which deletes a second reading amendment, I want to bring us all the way back to the budget bill. So we could take a second. If you can pull out the budget bill, I want to direct you to page 108. Because in order to understand what the Burkhart second reading amendment did, we need to understand what's in the budget here. And honestly, I think I was a bit asleep at the wheel when this went through. What's talked about in Section 330 is public employee compensation and what JEAC decided to do this year. So please understand that we have easily altogether 25,000 state employees. in a variety of different capacities. The executive branch, the university, the community colleges, the judiciaries, and the school districts. What JAC decided to do this year, after considering an external cost adjustment, after considering other kinds of bonuses, decided to afford state employees, all of them, a 1% retention bonus. So a 1% retention bonus for next year that would be distributed in 2 paychecks. That's it. Okay? It's not much. It is not much at all. On a $50,000 salary, that's $500. That's $250 twice. Okay? State employees haven't received raises in 4 years. Okay? But you'll see, beginning on page 108 of the budget bill, the mechanism for the distribution of this 1% retention bonus. What the Burkhart second reading amendment did is say that one category of state employees, school district employees, would not be eligible for this 1% retention bonus if they received any increase to their base pay. Okay. And so, again, the Burkhart amendment says that one category, and only one category, of these employees wouldn't receive this 1% bonus if their base salary increased. Okay. Teachers and school district employees are some of our most valued and valuable employees that we have. This retention bonus, in all honesty, for many of us, is not much. But it says to our state employees that we value you. Right? We're not able to give a raise this year, but we value you in some way. This amendment takes out school district employees who receive an increase to their base pay. It does nothing with any of the other categories of employees that receive an increase to their base pay. The entity that I work for, I can imagine categories of employees that receive increases to their base pay. When faculty members move up from assistant to associate or from associate to full, that's an increase in base pay. They would still be eligible for the 1% retention bonus. I don't know about the other four categories, but that's a possibility as well, that they had increases to their base pay. What the Burkhart Amendment does, and that I'd like us to reconsider, is say that that one category of employees, and I believe it's about 15,000 of them, if there's any increase to their base pay, which was decided in some mechanism by, for example, their local school districts, or, for example, they received an increase in their base pay because of additional education or becoming National Board Certified Teachers or anything. Right, they wouldn't be eligible for this 1% bonus, which says to our employees, we value you. Right, it's a 1% one-time retention bonus. So I'd urge you to vote in favor of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Speaker Pro Tem, excuse me. Couple things. First, school district employees are not necessarily state employees. They're school district employees. The school districts pay them. School district employees can get an adjustment to really their base pay merely by time in grade. State employees don't really get that. State employees might be promoted and get more money. The school employees might be promoted and get more money. But the teachers also have a way to move up by staying in grade and getting step adjustments. In a large measure, if you really look at the proposed, call it a bonus, that would go to them, there are ways to scam the system so that they can actually double dip. Part of this is to prevent that from happening. It really provides money to those people who don't have the step increases, a lot of them being janitorial and those. The school teachers also have other means available to them to get increases that state employees don't. School teachers can, if they become nationally certified, we give them an extra $4,000 a year in their paycheck. That's an optional thing. They can go down, they can do what it needs to be to become certified and get the additional money. Very direct, and it's $4,000. That's an awful substantial amount of money in a paycheck. The other alternatives, when we looked at the retention or the performance incentive, however you want to call it, there were originally some ideas of giving only the good-rated employees or the top-rated employees more money, and certain would get none. This distributes the money evenly. But it controls the budget at the same time. The control on this is a savings of approximately $5 million just for the teachers. If you add in some of the other school district employees, it's even more than that. So they have other ways to get money, to get an increase, that the state employees don't have. And yes, some of them haven't gotten a raise in a while, but some of them have. And that it's to level the playing field and stop the double dipping and the scamming of the system. And that.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I'd just like to refocus the conversation a little back a bit. If you go back and you look at the model that we have that generates the entitlements that go out to the districts, it automatically gives all the teachers in that system a raise for every year that they're in the system, irregardless of what we do here. And that's why you see a $7 to $9 million increase over that entire budget automatically, even though we don't touch it. So the Burkhardt Amendment was a compromise, in my opinion, and it was the compromise that I accepted to, in replace of removing the entire 1%, because what it did was it said, you're already going to get your 1% because that happens automatically. And we're going to go ahead and forward the 1% to everyone else. And that, in effect, levels the playing field. If you allow this amendment to pass, they're going to get more than a 1% raise, and I just don't think we understand that. I think that's part of the confusion about the way the model works. So if you vote this amendment down, everyone's going to get a raise, and I think it's a much more fair approach. I would have come after the 1% entirely because I never heard any compelling justification for why we should be giving anyone a raise when we're looking at cutting budgets. So I would please ask you to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Freeman.
The representative from the town with the great university came up with most of my arguments, but there's a couple things that I would like to bring up again. There's been no external cost adjustment in the school system for several years. I think it's three, it could be four. The second thing is a lot of people are bottomed out on the scale. I always got that wrong, but after a while I realized that I never got the cost adjustments because I was too old and they didn't have those things again. The National Board of Certification, people pay to take those tests and to do that, to get that benefit. I think in my mind, and it's not a legal mind, you know, what is the base salary? Is the base salary after you get the step increase because you've had a favorable evaluation, or is it before or after? I just think that to create a separate category for one group within the state is not fair. I don't think you're going to see a lot of abuses in the system because of the lack of external cost adjustments. Within the formula, the school districts are performing duties that are not funded, like the officers that are in the schools, the elementary school counselors, additional ELL teachers and aides that are needed for that. So I think it's time to let local control have the final say on that. Let's not overreach.
Majority Whip Stetson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. On and against the amendment. I really, you know, after we sort of pulled this trigger in appropriations and we added this raise on the education side, The more I have thought about it, the more I'm convinced we made a big mistake in doing that. And certainly the Burkhart Amendment minimizes that mistake, and that's why I think it needs to be left on. But if we take that out, we accentuate that mistake. And for all the reasons that have been mentioned so far, but the other one is that, I mean, there's a reason there hasn't been an ECA over the last 3 years, and that's because all the data that comes in, it shows that there's no need for an ECA, that the cost pressures on the educational system have not justified an ECA. And through this this amendment, the 1% bump, what we did is we reached down. It's interesting we talk about local control, because what we did is we reached all the way down into the school systems and said, you will use this money, and you will use it for salaries. And we've never done that before. We give the block grant, school districts decide how they allocate the salaries, and this is the first time that we as a legislative body have sort of stuck our arms way down in and said, this is how you're going to use these dollars. And that's one of the huge concerns I have about the way we did it. But remember this in context of the other things we've done. We've done a retirement bump for these same employees, and we said that the employers are going to pay for it. So they've, on top of the STEP system that the good chairman of education already talked about, we've also bumped them up through this contribution of retirement. And so we certainly have been very fair to the school teachers in our state. We want to be fair to them, but we certainly have been. And so I'd urge your no vote on the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Greer.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem, I'd urge the body to vote this amendment down and to stick with the Burkhart Amendment for a lot of the reasons that were said, but also just like to point out is we're calling this a retention incentive payment, and I've heard over and over again that our teachers are the second best paid in the nation. So where are they going to go? I mean, obviously we're paying them enough to keep them retained in their positions. So just keep that in mind.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I thought it was our teachers are the second best paid at the beginning of their careers, but then we're just in the middle when you actually look at all their years of experience. So it's only at the beginning, the first year or two, where they're number two, and then we just become average.
Anyone else for their first time? For their first time. Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Speaker Pro Tem. A couple things. On the ECA or external cost adjustment, you can look at that as a cost of living. State employees, the employees that work in this building, who work in the other buildings, they don't even have an opportunity for such an adjustment. They don't. It's just not there. If we raise salaries, they get something. But the ECA for the school districts is evaluated routinely. The other thing on the board certification, yes, it costs money, and it costs a lot of money to take that test. However, the state picks up part of it, the teacher picks up a small part of it, and a foundation picks up the rest. And that foundation, once the teacher becomes certified, more than reimburses the teacher's contribution to that. They actually make money by doing it. And it is a tough process, I'll admit, but they do. If you want to go strictly with local control, then we should have dropped this completely, done what the good chairman of education said, which was to kill this part of the budget completely. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor?
Thank you, Madam Speaker, to Pro Tem. Thank you for the vigorous debate. Just a little bit of pushback on a couple of points. Honestly, I do not think that our school districts, our teachers, are scamming the system or double-dipping. The questions about retention, the retirement bump, yes, we did give all state employees a retirement bump, but we also are requiring them to contribute to it as well. What this money is a one-time retention bonus, and what the Burkhart Amendment does is take one category of state employees, those being who work in a school district, and excluding them if there's any increase to their base pay, without doing the same thing for the other five categories of state employees. I'd encourage the body to go with the JAC recommendation. The JAC recommendation, which is outlined on pages 108, 109, and 110 of the budget bill, says to treat all state employees alike
and that includes school district employees. So I would encourage you to vote aye on this amendment.
Question being called on third reading amendment 12 to House Bill 1. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
The amendment 12 to House Bill 1 has failed. Third reading. Division being called, all those in favor, please stand. Opposed? Third reading amendment 12 to House Bill 1 has failed. We are next amendment is 5, third reading to House Bill 1. Chairman Timlick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This third reading amendment seeks to undo some action that we had on the second reading amendment with respect to a failure of a water and sewer improvement district loan, an amount of $422,000. We didn't have much discussion on this on second reading. I don't think we need too much now other than to say that when the legislature determines that a outstanding debt owed to the state becomes delinquent or uncollectible, the Wyoming Constitution says that the State Loan and Investment Board shall take necessary actions to discharge and extinguish the loan. When we did that in the second reading amendment, we took the money out of the water development account too, which was a change from the budget bill, which took it out of the general fund. So this third reading amendment would seek to go back to the position of the budget to say that to make this to take care of this delinquent loan, that it should be taken from the general fund and not from account two. I would just say that in the 34 years that the Water Development Commission has been doing water development projects all over the state, we have never had a loan failure. So I guess I'm not sure why we would expect that the Water Development Commission, who did not make this loan, should be responsible for carrying the water on this delinquency. So I would ask for your favorable support.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem, when I brought this, my thinker sprung a leak.
And you lost all the water.
And I did, and it is true that the original loan was not funded from Water Development 2, and I consider this a friendly and an appropriate amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Any further discussion on the amendment? Okay. The question being called on third reading amendment 5 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. All right. We are on amendment number 11, third reading to House Bill 1. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. In light of the next amendment, number 28, offered by the Chairman of Appropriations, I will withdraw my amendment and ask for your support of amendment 28.
Yay! Thank you, Representative Halverson. Amendment number 11 to third reading of House Bill 1 has been withdrawn. We are now on amendment number 28 to third reading of House Bill 1. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Move the. This is the final one. Third reading amendment number 28
to House Bill 1. Members, building on the work of our good representative from Laramie County, when these task forces are created, I think it's important that we always look at the numbers are key. So all I did is add one more senator, one more House member from this body to this task force, and that the rest of these you can see on line 34, Romanette 4, it talks about all the other folks who will be appointed will be non-voting members as you read through it. So those are my changes. So the elected folks will be the voting members on this task force, and that's the way it stands. I stand for any questions.
Representatives Swanitz or Dan?
Mr. Speaker, it's generally friendly. It's really how the body wants to go. We've tried to have a very delicate balance of House and Senate, and now we're going to have kind of six legislators and five executive branch people, and I guess that would empower us to make decisions over the Capitol. We do have 2.5 of the 4 floors currently, so when the tough decisions have to be made, I guess 6-5 is... Well, we'll hope that works out. So, certainly no problems with amendment, and it's friendly. I think it'll accomplish the same thing, and we'll probably leave maybe a more favorable legislative number of people in the Capitol when push comes to shove. Thanks.
Any further discussion on third reading amendment number, what the heck number is this? 28 to House Bill 1. Question having been called, all in favor of third reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1 has carried. Now, House Bill 1, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery excused. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer. Green,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne, Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitz or Dan,
no.
Swanitz or Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Miller, excused. Throne.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Laux? Aye to no. Madden? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Hutchings? Aye to no. Are there additional changes? Winters? Aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed, 44 aye, 13 no, 3 excused.
House Bill 1, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 1 has passed the House. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
Thank you. Members, appreciate all your good work. I'd like to recognize members of the Appropriation Committee. If you'd stand up, Reverend Wallace. Stand up, Esquivel, Moniz. Representative Stubson, Representative Nicholas and Representative Burkhart. And these guys have really done a great job. Next, Mr. Speaker, I think it's really important, and many of you folks who've been here a while know Don Richards. And Don started with us, and he's a Wyoming boy, was in the research division, went back to Washington, went across the hill. We're really blessed to have him back as a director of fiscal division, and has done a great job. And so, Don, where are you? Did he slip out? I think they're all here. So you guys, come on out on the floor. Come on out here.
And before you sit down, Mr. Speaker, let's just give a big hand to Representative Harshman. He knows a lot about this. He just did a great job.
Now, hold on. Hey.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa. Not done with my speech. Whoa. No, and then and with Don, and then the folks who have really assisted him and the fiscal staff, you've seen Alex and has been down there, but also on the Senate side, we have two Dons. It's D-A-W-N. Agar's done a great job for many years. And Dean Tempty, who brings us our goldenrod every day. And then all of our attorneys, as you know, you guys have been working with them. Dave Groover, Linda Cook, Matt Ulbrich, Lily, and Sharp, and Tanya Heitrich. So, and then all of our great staff here to get through this process. So we appreciate all you guys. Thank you very much.
Mr. Speaker, one other thing.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. If we really need to pare down on DLSO, that red hair in the back, I don't know if we really need her around anyway.
Chairman Harshman, very nice job. Very nice job. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
General file for Monday is as appears on your yellow sheet. Suppressors will be the first bill on general file.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, before you get ahead of yourselves, we do have messages from the Senate, readings and signing of enrolled acts, reports from standing committees, and committee announcements.
Whoa.
We're at that order of business of messages from the Senate.
All right, message 232, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 59, Banking Acts Amendments, ayes 29, excused 1, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 233, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 60, Money Transmitters Act Amendments, ayes 29, 1 excused, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 234. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 61, Banking Division, Nationwide Licensing System, ayes 29, 1 excused, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 235. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 54, High School Equivalency Certificate, ayes 29, 1 excused, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 236, Mr. Speaker, the bill is listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 64, Data Center Co-location Tax Exemption, ayes 18, noes 11, 1 excused, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 237, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 10, Certificates of Insurance, ayes 14, noes 15, 1 excused. This bill has been indefinitely postponed. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 238, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1, the bill is not engrossed and the adopted Senate amendments are being transmitted with the bill. Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations-2, Ayes 26, Noes 2, 2 excused. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We're not that order of business of reading and signing of enrolled acts. The first enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 6, having been original House Bill 54.
Enrolled Act Number 6, original House Bill Number 54, an act relating to high school graduation requirements.
I'm about to sign the Enrolled Act Number 6 being original House Bill 54. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 7 being original House Bill 59.
Enrolled Act Number 7, original House Bill Number 59, an act relating to banking and finance.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 7 being original House Bill 59. I have so signed. The next bill for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 8 being original House Bill 60.
Enrolled Act Number 8. Original House Bill Number 60, an act relating to trade and commerce.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 8 being Original House Bill 60. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 9 being Original House Bill 61.
Enrolled Act Number 9, Original House Bill Number 61, an act relating to trade and commerce.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 9 being original House Bill 61. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 10 being original House Bill 64.
Enrolled Act Number 10, original House Bill Number 64, an act relating to economic development.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 10 being original House Bill 64. I have so signed. We're not that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 47, engrossed school finance amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Escobel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, Stevenson, Wallace, signed by Representative Harshman, Chair. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 64, Wholesale Malt Beverage Distributor Limitations, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Eklund, Goggles, Laux, Madden, Northrup, Petroff, Semlich, one no vote, Representative Kirkbride, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 55, Engrossed Energy and Natural Resource Education Initiative, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Paxton, and Teeters. Those who voted no, Representatives Patton, Piperinen, and Somers, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, whom is referred Senate File 144, Bidder Qualifications, Community Colleges-2, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Piperian, Somers, and Teeters, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 149, Engrossed Complimentary Hunting Licenses, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blevins, Davison, Freeman, Gay, Halverson, Hutchings, Piperinen, to excuse Representative Yeagie and Representative Crone, signed by Representative Davison, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred, referred Senate File 44, First Responder Retirement Account Payment Rules, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye. Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yeagie, Laux, McKim, Reeder, and Dave Zwanzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 46, Protecting Veteran Disability Compensation and Divorce, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye. Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yeagie, Laux, McKim, Reeder, Dave Zwanzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 74, Engross, Professional Licensing Military Spouses, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yeagie, Laux, McKim, Reeder, Dave Zwanzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 78, Active Duty Medical Cost Reimbursement Program Amendments, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yeagie, Laux, McKim, Reeder, Dave Zwanzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 130, Professional Licensing-Military, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yeagie, Laux, McKim, Reeder, Dave Zwanzer, signed by Representative David Zwanzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 52, Engrossed Natural Gas State Vehicles, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Somers, and Winters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
With that order of business of committee announcements. Vice Chairman Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, will meet Monday, February 11th, 2013, upon a noon recess, to take up Senate File 9, Private Transfer Fees, Senate File 115, Protective Services Investigation Amendments, and Senate File 146, Termination of Parental Rights.
Vice Chairman Yeagie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, will meet at 8:30 Monday to discuss one bill, Senate File 162, Authorized Taking of an Eagle.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Monday, February 11th, 10 minutes after adjournment in room H17, where we will finish Medicaid fraud recovery, and then we will hear Senate File 147, Stroke and Heart Attack Treatment Centers.
Vice Chairman Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, your committee, Number 7, Corporations, will meet Monday, February 11th at noon recess in room H18 to hear Senate File 86, Engrossed County Offices Business Days, and Senate File 99, Water and Sewer Districts Electors.
Very nice work, ladies and gentlemen. It was high-quality debate on some tough issues today. The people of Wyoming should be very proud of the work that you did. The Conference Committee on the Budget will be appointed Monday after we see what the differences are with the Senate. If you're traveling, be safe this weekend with some tough weather. Chairman Semlich, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10 o'clock a.m. on Monday, February 11, 2013.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House is adjourned until Monday, February 11th, 2013 at 10 a.m.